Wow. We already got our first. Let's go. G Martinez. Let me send this out right now. Thanks to my good friend, Stephen Leonard. I've known Stephen for a long time, and I'm out running errands. We're doing stuff today. I'm thinking I'm done with the studio for the day. It's Saturday. It's about 6 o'clock. This has happened a while ago. I'm going crazy loving college football, Arizona State, and I watch Texas, Georgia. Bearing the lead. Hang on. In the midst of watching Oregon on their first drive, tight end jumps over a Penn State guy at 7-0. All of a sudden, I look at my phone. Willie Adames to the Giants? Woo! Are you kidding me? HR, Ernesto, Nick. I know, bro. It's Saturday night, Nick. I was thinking about getting after it, but it's like, are you kidding me? I got to get your thoughts on this whole thing. And this may not be it. So we had to break, and I told you not only are we doing these shows at 8 a.m., Monday through Friday, not only are we doing chats at night, when things break, man, you got to go. And, you know, not every story is breaking and worthy of a show, but Willie Adames, 7-1-82, boys and girls of all ages, how about this, 7-1-82, let me get this going here. This is Jeff Passan. If you don't believe me, you're like, Len, you're making up stories, you've been drinking whiskey all day. No, this is a true story. Jeff Passan, at Jeff Passan, right there. You see it at the top. He is credible. That's a blue check mark we see there. Shortstop Willie Adames and the San Francisco Giants are in agreement, 7-1-82. Now, this is the great part. The largest deal in franchise history. Adames, 29, had a career best, 32 home runs, 112 RBIs in 2024. Ah, deal pending, a physical. I just saw that. I don't care. Pass him. Let's not have another situation where we have Carlos Correa. I don't mean to bring that up and bring the mood down in the room, especially on a Saturday night. But there you go. Pending a physical. I get it. I know. But again, passing continues. Willie Adames will receive a $22 million signing bonus in his deal with the Giants. Now this is the fun part. The $182 million guarantee is the third largest free agent contract ever for a Dominican-born player. But here's the best part. Tops the $167 million deal of Buster Posey for the largest in Giants history, the guy who actually signed him to the contract. So let's talk about Adames. All right, I'd love to get your thoughts. I am looking at the I'm looking at my Twitter right now, /X at John Lund Radio. Give me your thoughts. That you've jumped on the show means an absolute ton to me. So thank you for jumping in the chat here. We'll go as long as we need to go. This is great news. It's 6:12 on Saturday night. And you're kind of like me. It's like you need somebody to talk to, right? I turn to my wife, who I've made to watch college football all day long, and she's like, just go in the studio. I know you want to talk to people. I've given her way too much football. I was talking to her about breakdowns and all this kind of stuff, and she's like, just go in the studio and talk to people who really care about it. There you go. I still have this thing up. I got something I'm holding up, but I'll show you in a minute. The reason why I wanted to pop that up, in addition to Willie Adames' 7-year, $182 million deal, and we got to get into Buster in just a second, but right below it, look at that right there. Roki Sasaki is expected to be officially posted. I'd like him too, although there's Corbin Burns news that I have to get to you as well. So there you go. Jeff Passan is the first source on this whole thing, so it's not me making up stuff. Like, they got a hitter to sign here, Lund? You always say they don't. Well, they haven't, and you know that. You're a Giants fan. Go back to Aaron Rowan. Very flawed hitters have signed here. Let's be honest. Very flawed hitters have signed here, Jorge Soler. So to get Willie Adames, who the Dodgers wanted, to get Willie Adames, who I'm sure the Yankees wanted, I've been talking about this the whole time. I'm not going to make this about me because it's not. But the one thing I've said consistently, or I say a lot of things consistently, a lot of them are wrong, but the one thing I will say is that don't go chasing the Aaron Judges of the world. Don't go chasing the Juan Sotos. What Farhan would have done, what Farhan would have done was be chasing Juan Soto right now while Willie Adames went somewhere else. This is what I'm talking about. This is why you don't waste your time with the Juan Sotos. He's not coming. He's the prettiest girl at the dance. And Willie Adames, by the way, and I've made this comp before, Willie Adames is not the guy, like, at 2 a.m. when everybody's scurrying and I'm trying to get a date at 2 a.m. when the light's coming out at the bar. That's what the Giants have been doing. Oh, my God, Soler, please sign. And that's when the lights come on at 2 a.m. at the bar. Willy Adames behind Soto is, he's one of the top guys, you know that. But what the Giants clearly did here is, I'm not chasing the ball. I'm not chasing the queen of the dance. I'm chasing these guys. And look, to say that Buster Posey can get a guy like Adames, who knows damn well he's not going to probably hit 32 in this ballpark, but you know what? He got 182. They overpaid probably for the guy, but I don't care. Let's talk about it. The lineup, the way that it's going to look, there is some Corbin Burns stuff here. I got the chalkboard going. Breaking news, Buster made $167 million, but Adames gets 182 over 7, 251 batting average, 32 home runs, 112 RBIs, and he's 29, or in the prime of his career. Love it. I absolutely love it. Nothing against Ha-Seong Kim. I didn't want Ha-Seong Kim. I said that on Friday's podcast, and you can go back and take a listen to it. I didn't want Ha-Seong Kim. Nothing against him. Coming off a major injury. Good shortstop. Better defensively probably than Adames. But Adames gives you something in the order, man. Like, this is serious. Like, oh, I got to worry about Willy Adames. And they're going to add more. This isn't just it. Around the big mahogany table that Buster Posey clearly walked in and said, if you want me to do this job, this is how we have to do it. We're going to get aggressive. Because they're going to get pitching. Guys, they're going to get pitching. To get a hitter of this quality at this early stage sends a message to the rest of Major League Baseball. We're not screwing around. Now, they're not at the Dodgers level yet, but you want to compete with the Padres and the D-backs, and you want to get in the playoffs, it's a hell of a first step. So give me your thoughts. Willy Adames is a Giant, according to reports. I know it says pending physical. I don't want to get into pending physical. Let's have some fun on a Saturday night. What, are you kidding me? I got a bottle of whiskey here. You and I are going to do a shot. Look at this. Let me get that up there. Yeah, let's do it. Let me hang on a minute. I got a cup here, I think. Yeah, at some point we're going to do some whiskey here. But let me get out to the line. What do you think of Willy Adames? What do you think of Buster Posey? What do you think of the lineup now? We could go in any different direction you want. Breaking news, Willy Adames is a member of the Giants. Hi, Tacky. Santander at first base. Now we're talking. Dude, now we're getting greedy. But that's all right. I like Anthony Santander. From the Orioles. That's where I'm going next, is what does this mean for the rest of the lineup. But I do think it's awesome. HR Bar on ISIL. Let's call it as it is, man. We had on the radio. He's an asshole, and I'm glad he's gone, and he can go to the Dodgers for all I'm concerned. We'll get into that conversation. I've talked to Farhan many times when I was on with Tommy, and in person I met the guy, and I don't see how he could persuade anybody. I just don't. This is purely to me, not purely, that's the wrong word. This is clearly Buster Posey walking into a room and going, hey, man, what are we going to do to get you here? I mean, you got to have closers, man. You got to have closers. I said that about Farhan all the time. Farhan couldn't close Aaron Judge. I believe that if Buster Posey was in charge of the Giants, Aaron Judge would be a Giant because that was his favorite Giant growing up. I run operations here. This is huge. Let's see. I'd be Nick says Willie ain't a bad option. Absolutely not. Can he splash? I am so glad you asked that question, HR. How about this? I got another thing for you here. You're going to be impressed. Impress your friends with this. This is Willy Adames, because I knew someone was going to ask that question. This is Willy Adames' career home run chart, and it's stuck into Oracle Park. How many home runs you see wouldn't have gone out of Oracle Park? None. That's 150 home runs by Willy Adames, and then that is thrown into Oracle Park, if that makes sense, by Savant Illustrator. Every one of his career home runs, 150, would have gone out at Oracle Park. Not robbed once. So I don't think he's going to hit 32. That was a career high, but his 5 seasons, he's hit 20 every single year. So you want to take 20 home runs at Oracle Park out of your shortstop? I mean, Brandon Crawford did that, I get it, but that's not a common occurrence. But yeah, all 150 of his home runs in his career would have been a home run at Oracle Park. Impress your friends with that, who were talking about the Dodgers. Hey, he's not going to hit any home runs. Well, really? All of his 150 in his career would have went out even at Oracle Park. Boom! Yeah, that's right, HR. Blows your mind. Hey, it's my good friend Walter. Guys, if you aren't following Walter, and I know he's got a new baseball podcast coming out, then you're crazy. Signed Birds, Trey's Wizenhunt, and Vlad at first base. See, now we're getting cocky. I like this. I like this a lot that we're getting cocky. Willy Adames, give me your thoughts. 7 years, $182 million. Buster Posey is a god. I wouldn't go that far. But is it crazy to say that Farhan doesn't get this deal done? Is it crazy to say that things are going to be changing around here because Buster Posey is – there's a couple of things about Buster Posey in this thing that this tells. Number one, if you've listened to me for any period of time at KMBR, it's the fact that I think of this big mahogany table because, remember, it's not just one guy with the purse strings. It's a group going, can we do this? And, you know, there's bean counters and conservative people and all this kind of stuff and people who don't want to win but keep the turnstiles moving. That's kind of been the charge against the Giants. Will this guy sell tickets for us? But Buster's walking in, and I'm sure before he took this job, he said, look, I'm Buster Posey. I have an image to uphold. I'm not going to go into this job and not be able to spend money and ruin my reputation with fans. I'm as high as you can get as far as, you know, how people think of me. So I'm not going to walk into this place if you're not going to let me spend money. And they said, okay. I mean, Buster Posey walking in around the big mahogany table with all these people with the purse strings or Farhan. Farhan's going, hey, can I have a dollar? Buster's going, we're signing this dude. Next. What we're hearing, too, is Corbin Burns. See, this is what this is great about. Number one, it sends a message to the league. Number two, it sends a message to other free agents, which is important. Okay, the Padres were ahead of it. Us, I get it. The Dodgers are dominating the division. I get it. We're down there. We understand that. But you know what? We're not screwing around. So we just got a hitter, which never happens around here. I always talk about it. Excess pitching for hitting, trade it, get it. And now they sign a guy for 182 over 7 years who hit 32 home runs and knocked in 115 at shortstop for the Brewers last season. So the signing itself is absolutely massive. The timing of it, the player they get, all that kind of stuff. The second big part is it shows that the Giants are going to be players in free agency. It shows that they're going to act like a major market team, which they always didn't around Farhan. Farhan was always like, let me get this deal at Marshall's or TJ Maxx. Look what I did, everyone. He was out to impress his friends, his other GMs. Look what I got. I got this guy off the trash heap, John. You know, that's what he liked. Buster's like, no. This tells you that Buster's going to make a difference around here. It's a huge signing. Huge signing. And hopefully now you look at this. This is just, and they're not one and done. They can't be. You know, Buster Posey gets this thing done. It tells a guy like Corbin Burns, who was teammates with Willie Adames in Milwaukee, hey, dude, we're not screwing around. 200-inning guy in Corbin Burns that you can stick next to Webb, and you got two horses at the top of your rotation. Hopefully Robbie Ray comes back. Now you're set with three. So we'll get into the lineup in a second, but again, if you just tuned in, emergency breaking news, Buster Posey and the Giants, mostly Buster Posey, but somebody's got to have the purse strings around here. 7-182 for Willie Adames. What do you think? Great move. Do we think this takes the Giants out on Kim, be a hell of a infield with him at second base? Yeah, I do. I do think this takes him out on Kim. Kim isn't going to be, wouldn't be nearly as expensive as the 182. The reason I didn't want Ha-Sung Kim, and look, if they had signed him, I'd be cool, and we'd probably be doing a breaking, we'd be doing a breaking podcast / a breaking YouTube show right now. I wouldn't be nearly as excited. I wouldn't be nearly as ready to take a shot of whiskey. He's nice. He's a nice player, but I said this even on Friday. I said, a guy coming off an injury like this, hit 11 home runs with San Diego, his career high here in the States, not in Korea, but in the U.S. is 17 when he was healthy the year before. And, of course, Bob Melvin knows him. He's a better defender than Adames. I'm not ripping on the guy. I'm just saying, doesn't it sound like a Giant signing, like an injured guy, and they got to take a guy because he is injured, and if he was healthy, would he sign here? And if his career high is 17, then how many he's hitting in this yard? Willie Adames is a legit home run hitter. And with Chapman on the left side, Adames, by the way, if you look at his metrics defensively, I'm not saying he's Brandon Crawford, but he's not terrible either. He's better than any – well, Nick Ahmed was good. But any other guy, I mean, defensively, he's above average defensively. He's not – I'm not saying he's Crawford. I'm not saying he's going to win a gold glove. But he's solid. And then given what his bat is and the fact that he's 29 years old, it's huge. Ha-Sung Kim's not a bad player. I'm not saying he's not. But he wasn't going to be ready for the beginning of the season. I just – you hear that for the Giants. How many injuries do you got to have? Nah, he's not ready. Oh, he's hurt. It's like, man, availability is the best ability. And that's what I want. And so – you know, Willie Adames, to me, has been a durable player. Kim could slide over to second base. You're 100% right in that assessment. It's just that now you have Tyler Fitzgerald potentially at second base. Maybe they go in another direction. But we can take this conversation to what we think the line, you know, the lineup still needs, which we'll do in just a second. But we're just kind of reveling in the fact that Willy Adames is a giant. I just want to get your thoughts on there. Chat is wide open. I'm checking it out. If you want to hit me up, I do have my Twitter right in front of me right now. Right there. Thank you, Randy. Randy's hitting me up there. Steven, by the way, was the one who texted me, hit me up on Twitter. And that's when I was like, whoa, what? And so I was like, you know, left the wife. I said, hey, we got to go. We got to talk. I got to talk to the people. Actually, she kicked me out. She's like, I don't want to talk about this. Tacky says, I think Fitz man second base. I would agree with you right now. I mean, if they make any other moves, it doesn't mean that, you know, maybe they trade Tyler Fitzgerald. I don't know. But if I'm starting to look at the infield now and I see Chapman long-term at third and I see Adames long-term at short and probably as we sit here today, remember the winter meetings are next week. So who knows what the Giants could do now. But now you look at, you know, second base, Fitzgerald showed enough last year, I think, not defensively, but better as a second baseman than a shortstop. He's got speed. He's an athlete. I've been screaming and crying. Look at the ballpark that the Giants play in. Look at Oracle Park. What does it scream for? Athletes. What's Chapman? An athlete. What's Adames? An athlete. Did you know that Willy Adames stole 21 bases last year? He's an athlete. What's Tyler Fitzgerald? An athlete. That's what this park screams for. You know, Farhan never got it. Dude, you don't need home run hitters here. It'd be nice. I mean, 32 home runs for Adames, but what you need is guys who are going to get hit line drives, guys who are going to be athletic, guys who are going to take an extra base, guys who are going to steal a base. When you're it's so simple. It's not like this in basketball because courts are all the same, but in terms of where you play your games in baseball, that's where half your games are played. I'm not breaking news there. But that means that you've got to tailor your team to the ballpark. That's what Willy Adames can do. If Adames hits 20, plays above average defense, steals 25 bases, my God, that's well worth that money. So now all of a sudden your left side is set, Adames and Chapman, maybe Tyler Fitzgerald at second. They need a first baseman, and they need somebody with power. Nothing against Wade. He was great in 2021. Last year, too many injuries. I know his on-base percentage was ridiculously high for a certain period of time. That's not what I'm looking for, man. I'm looking for a guy to mash the ball who plays first base. So I'm not ripping him, but maybe next week, you know, there's somebody who likes Lamont Wade Jr. and they can get something done at first base until Bryce Eldridge is ready. I don't think you bring up Bryce Eldridge right now. He's 20 years old. That's a heck of a lot of pressure. Let the kid on his own come up. So I think you need a guy for 1 or 2 years. I don't think Christian Walker is going to be that guy. I love Christian Walker. He's a free agent. But I do think that somebody else is going to snap him up. But again, if you can get a stopgap first baseman for 2 years who's got some power, a little bit earlier, I forgot who said it, I'm sorry, but you said Santander. I mean, he's going to cost you a ton of money, but I mean, if that was to happen, are you kidding? Bailey's more of a defensive guy behind the plate. Obviously, you're going to give Ramos the first shot in left field. I hope he's more first half than second half. Second half, he struggled. Team's caught up to him. He's got to readjust. Jung-Hoo Lee, I think we forget on Jung-Hoo Lee, and I'm not being negative. It's just Jung-Hoo Lee didn't prove anything yet. He started off slow, kind of got hot and cold, great defensive center fielder, but not everybody, you know, Bailey's a defender. You know, Yastrzemski's more of a defender. So, you know, you got to mix that up. You got to get some hitters in this lineup. So I hope Jung-Hoo Lee can do it in center field, but for right now, you got to pencil him in. I mean, they gave him the big contract. So Ramos, Jung-Hoo Lee, probably Mike Yastrzemski in right, although as much as I love Yaz defensively, again, that's a power position on the diamond. So I'd love to see another right fielder. I'd love to see Yaz be a fourth outfielder and kind of rotate, you know, between the outfield spots. I like the guy. I like what he provides defensively, but for him to be a right fielder when you don't have absolutely mashing players all over the place, don't love it. But, you know, you could probably get by. But the biggest thing for me right now then becomes, all right, first base would be nice. Right field would be nice, but you got to get a guy who's a 1B to Webb. That's not Ray, that's not Harrison, that's not Birdsong, and you've heard me say this before, I'd trade Harrison or Birdsong. If I can get a hitter, if I can get a legit first baseman, if I can get a legit right fielder, I'm sorry, but Harrison or Birdsong's got to go. I can sign pitching. So maybe Corbin Burns looks at his former teammate, Willy Adames, signing with the Giants and going, okay, they're legit. And all of a sudden, you're looking at an offseason where you've already got Webb, you put in Burns, you got Ray, you got some pitching, get some depth there. First baseman, you know, they're not done adding offense, but Adames is a huge deal. All right, give me your thoughts. MF, what's up, MF? Good to see you, bro. Will Giants sign Burns? I've heard today, after I was freaking out about this, I texted some people. In fact, I know Susan Slusser has tweeted this out from the Chronicle, that this does make Burns kind of raise his eyebrows a little bit. And again, the closest major league team to him where he's growing up was the Bay Area. And I know what you're thinking to yourself, Lund. That was the same thing with Aaron Judge. I think things have changed. I really do believe that if Buster Posey was in his current position as president of baseball operations for the Giants when Aaron Judge was a free agent, that Aaron Judge would be a Giant. I heard when they had that big meeting at Oracle Park that Judge was not a fan of Gabe Kapler, who is. He's kind of turned you off. Gabe Kapler was kind of a guy that's like, I'm so cool, man. You're lucky to be around me. And then Farhan Zaidi walking in all nerdy.
Hey, you want to sign with my team?
No. Get out of here. Leave me alone. I know people were at that meeting, and they said basically that he wasn't a big fan of Gabe and wasn't a big fan of Farhan, and those are your top two lieutenants at that particular point. If it had been Bob Melvin and Buster Posey, I think we'd see 99 in the Giants outfield, but that's gone. We don't need to talk about it. I'm just telling you. What's up, Rip? What's up, Lund? Good to be able to catch you on YouTube. It is good to be caught on YouTube. Ranger 49 says, love the Adames signing, but I think they also need to add a starting pitching. I couldn't agree with you more. Clement says, Posey off to a fantastic start, Lund. I agree with you. I mean, to me, this is about Willie Adames. This is about Willie Adames, all right? It is. But the bigger picture thing to this is, and this is bigger than a single signing, even if it is Willie Adames, who I expect to be great with the Giants, 7 years, $182 million, as you can see there on the chalkboard. But this is about Buster Posey making a statement that the Giants aren't going to act like a small market team anymore, that the Giants aren't going to just go, well, I hope our prospects come through because I love hoarding prospects. I mean, that's what Farhan did. Just hoarded prospects and just that they're going to come through. I mean, that's fine. But you're a major market team. The A's just left the market. Sacramento's not the Bay Area. That's not the same market. You're the largest single team market in Major League Baseball, San Francisco Giants. Act like it. And that's what Buster Posey just did. We're the single largest team in Major League Baseball. New York's got two. LA's got two. Chicago's got two. That's what I'm saying. Bay Area, San Francisco is the fourth largest media market in the country. Single team largest market in the country, in the game. Act like it. Now, look, they're not going to get that revenue for a while, but that's the reality. And I guarantee you that Buster would not have taken this job. And I talked to Buster. Papa and I talked to him right after he got the gig. He came in and talked to us. And this is kind of what he said. He said, look, I'm not sitting around here. I'm not going to screw up my legacy. And you know, hey, it's the great Buster Posey, but damn, he couldn't be a president of baseball operations. To me, this is bigger than the single signing itself, which is they're giving him the purse strings. They're saying, okay, Buster, they like him. Not a lot of guys could have walked into this place and said, yeah, you got to loosen the purse strings. They're like, what else you got? So Adames is the first signing. Back to the question of do I think they're going to sign a starting pitcher? There's no question. They can't go into the season hoping and praying again, and this is a sign that they're not going to do that. This is a sign that Buster Posey is saying, look, we can't just wait on prospects all the time. We can't just sit back. How excited does this get you for the winter meetings next week? Like all of a sudden this dude just signed a shortstop, and now you walk in and you look Scott Boras in the face and or whomever, and you look at team executives, you look at, whatever, and you say, look, we're not screwing around. We're not going to act like we're the Oakland A's anymore. We're not going to act that way. We're going to be a major market team, and we're a major player. Because as far as the lists of free agents are concerned, it's Juan Soto number one. It's probably Corbin Burns number two. Blake Snell's in there. But as far as hitters are concerned, Santander, somebody brought up a minute ago, Santander is absolutely huge. But Willie Adames was on the top of everybody's list, and the reason why this is so big, who was after Willie Adames? You know, you're a baseball guy. We're sitting here on a Saturday night. The Dodgers were in on him, reportedly. The Yankees were in on him, reportedly. And the big boys were in. You pulled a fish out of the water that everybody wanted. All the major market teams wanted Willie Adames. The Brewers knew they weren't getting him back. They didn't even try. But the Dodgers and the Yankees were reportedly in on Willie Adames. They're all looking at him going, if we don't get Juan Soto, Adames is our next guy. Giants don't get guys like that, but Buster Posey just did. So that's what should excite you as much as the individual signing itself. It tells you, A, the people holding the purse strings are responding to Buster Posey. B, they're going to be a major market team. C, they're not done. I do expect Corbin Burns or Roki Sasaki, because here's the other thing, too. I don't know a ton about Sasaki other than what you've read and know. And then, of course, he was in the World Baseball Classic, and everybody thinks he has the highest upside. If you don't know him, he's a Japanese pitcher. What's he, 23, 24, throws 100 miles an hour, has a bunch of nasty pitches off of that. And he could have made a lot more money if he would have waited a couple of years, but he convinced the Japanese league to have his team post him, and he's coming over early. He's not going to make a ton of money. Everybody thinks he's ticketed to the Dodgers or another major market team. Padres have been brought in there. Padres aren't major market, but still, they're aggressive. Again, this is a sign towards a guy like Roki Sasaki or to Corbin Burns or to any hitters who never come here. Hey, they're not screwing around. So to me, that the actual big picture of what this says about what the Giants are going to be, how aggressive they're going to be, is as big as the signing itself. So give me your thoughts. Again, I'm at John Lund Radio. Make sure that you're following. Tell all your friends. Subscribe. All those kind of things. And to the John Lund Unleashed podcast, which we post every day. 8 a.m. we're here Monday through Friday. Breaking news, as we promised. Chats at night. So we're kind of doing a breaking news chat combination. And I'm not lying when I say this. I love that you're here because my wife just kicked me off the couch. Said, I don't want to hear about sports. We've been talking about sports, college football, playoff, all that. I'm not going to talk about Willie Adames. I don't know who that is. Go into your studio and talk to people about it. Because I was jacked. I was like, honey, they just signed Willie Adames. And she's looking at me like, I don't know who that is. And I'm tired of sports for the day. And I went, okay, this is a wonderful outlet. Tacky says, Burns, Fried, Sasaki, Manaea. That's a good list, man. What you're putting those in order is what I'm saying. I agree with you on Burns. I've been preaching for Burns and for Adames, by the way. I'm glad that Buster listens to the podcast and watches the show. But Burns is a giant. He's a 200-inning guy. He's a horse. He's the type of guy that you put next to Logan Webb, and it helps your bullpen. There's numerous ways that he helps. He's a bulldog. He's got that mentality. That's your number two guy. Robbie Ray's your three. Hell, I wouldn't say no to trading for Sonny Gray on top of that and then saying, okay, I like Birdsong better than Harrison, to be honest with you, long term. I'd stick Birdsong in at five, and I'd say, what takers do you have for Kyle Harrison? And I'm not down on Harrison. I'm simply saying that Adames is awesome. But let's get greedy here. Trade for a first baseman for a couple of years until Eldridge is ready. Trade for a right fielder. I'm just saying you can't do everything, but I'm saying if you want to trade Harrison for a big-time power hitting or athletic combination type of a right fielder, I'd be all ears on that. I'd be all ears on a first baseman for a couple of years to who could maybe move to the outfield. You bring him in when Eldridge is ready. Don't rush that kid. He looks like the real deal. Take that first baseman who could play outfield as well. And again, if you're just joining the show, 7 years, $182 million for Willie Adames. Left side of the infield is Chapman, Adames, maybe Tyler Fitzgerald at second. I mean, the way it is right now, but again, the baseball winter meetings are next week. I'm telling you, the Giants are going to be a hot topic. There's going to be agents coming to Buster Posey going, damn, I didn't know you were going to spend all this money. What, you got some from my guy? So, let's see what else we got. Pete Alonso, good call right there. Pete Alonso might be a guy. I think he's a Boris guy, right? It just, you know, on that situation, it just depends. I mean, Pete Alonso is not a guy, obviously, that you're going to go, you know, when Eldridge is ready for a couple of years and say, okay, Pete, go play the outfield. He's not going to be that. But I'm not going to say no to Pete Alonso. I mean, he's got power in any park. And what I really love, Adames being a right-handed hitter, he's not going to be trying to hit the ball. It's another thing about Farhan. I don't even mean to make this about a Farhan bash, but like last year, they took the kid, James Tibbs, right? A left-handed hitting power first baseman, not overly athletic, out of Florida State with the 13th overall pick. I think I'm right in that. I don't want another left-handed power hitter unless he's Barry Bonds, unless you can recreate him. I want right-handed power. It's much easier to hit the ball out of the ballpark at Oracle in left than it is in right, and I want an athlete. I never understood what he was doing. He didn't know how to build a team. And the only thing he seemed to get enjoyment out of is picking some guy off the trash heap and making him half decent and impressing all his friends. I just didn't see it. He wasn't a closer in the free agent market. He gave no confidence to the fan base. And, you know, look, when Buster was hired for this job, and this is just one signing, but I thought to myself, a lot of times these guys who are great at the game, they don't turn into great executives. But if you see what Buster's doing, he's putting a bunch of scouts around himself. He's bringing some old school guys back. He's got a huge first signing. It's massive, man. Joe, miss you on the radio. I do too, Joe, but you know what? A situation like this has forced me to do things like this, and I love this. I love that there was a breaking news story for the Giants, Willy Adames, and I got this big setup in here, and I can just pat, boom, 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 and you and I can talk right now. Because the way it would normally be would be at 10 o'clock on Monday, you and I could talk about this. And it's great. I love doing that, believe me. But 10 o'clock on Monday is too far. I mean, the news cycle moves fast. People want to hear about it now. You and I should be rapping about this right now. You know, look how excited. I mean, I'm excited. I'm sure you're excited or you wouldn't be in this room right now. You know, it's 6:40 on a Saturday and we can just sit here. In fact, you know, go get a drink. Come back. Don't leave. Let's salute. All right. So I'm going to pour myself a little bourbon here, a little whiskey. Let me turn that around. Little Hanson's double barrel, 100 proof. I mean, this deserves a toast, doesn't it? So go get yourself one. Don't leave for good. We're going to toast together to Willy Adames and to Buster Posey making a move here. 49ers Red Zone, awesome. This is awesome. Tacky, London Popper were great together, but being more interactive like this is awesome. I agree with you. Sometimes on the radio, especially with the two of us, and as much as Pop and I would blah, 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 would blab, I agree with you 100% if you wanted to criticize us and tell us we didn't get to the phones or the text line enough. We just didn't. And I said this from the first day that we did this show. I love a free forum like this. I've been on the air since, I don't know, probably 30 minutes right now. And I would have had to break two, three times by now. So, you know, we can just sit here and hang out and talk about Willy Adames signing with the Giants and what it means and how cool and what this means about the organization and what this means about what Buster Posey is going to mean to it and what this means about what their offense is going to look like. And you know, it's cool. And I don't have to break. I don't have to break in 5 minutes. I don't have to break in 1 minute. I don't have to, you know, it's cool. Glad you're back. I'm glad I'm back, too. Rockin' Dubs, don't forget the DH role. Go get another bat and starting pitcher. I agree with you there. I saw a projection right when this signing of Willy Adames happened, and somebody said Flores at DH. He's not coming back. I know he's got another year on his deal, but he looked old and slow last year. I know he was banged up and all those kind of things. Maybe, you know, every once in a while. I don't see Wilmer Flores fitting in the plans. Now, Wilmer Flores from 2 years ago, I was waiting the entire season for Wilmer Flores from 2 years ago to show up, and he didn't. That's the old Giants. You ever think of that as a fan when, you know, certain guys on your team, and you say, that says all I need to know about my team? Right now, Wilmer Flores being a part of the Giants, and I love Wilmer Flores, interacted with him a lot, great guy, underrated dresser, good hair. That shouldn't matter. But, you know, he's a great guy. I'm not dogging on the guy. I'm just keeping it between the lines. It's time he goes. I mean, that tells you where your team is. There's certain benchmark players on your team, no matter what team you're looking at, whether it's your NBA team or your Warriors or your Niners or whatever is your favorite team. And you think, as long as that guy's on my team, that tells us that we're not a playoff team, or that tells us we're a second tier team, or that's what Wilmer Flores provides right now. And I love Mike Yastrzemski, and I don't mean to rip on Mike Yastrzemski, but Mike Yastrzemski is your regular right fielder every day. Tells you that, too, unless you upgrade. Like, if you have a major upgrade at first base, then I can deal with Mike Yastrzemski in the outfield. But right now, as I look at the outfield, and I think this is fair, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, Ramos in the first half was an all-star, deserved it. In the second half, he wasn't very good. So he is kind of unknown. I'm not going to just put him in the bank. I have this philosophy of putting things in the bank so you know no matter what sport we're talking about here. So I'm not putting Ramos in the bank. I'm not putting Jung-Hoo Lee in the bank. He was okay. He was very good defensively, but he was okay last year. He's still got a lot to prove. Mike Yastrzemski's always up and down. Great defensive guy. But he's always up and down offensively. So that's my outfield right now. If I'm the Giants. That's not good enough. That's just not good enough. The left side of my infield's great. I could live with Tyler Fitzgerald at second base. I don't have a first baseman that, to me, Lamont Wade Jr., all respect, is reliable. I need some power at that position. Patrick Bailey is defense only until further notice, and he's worn down both seasons. So, I can't just go into the season if I'm the Giants with this outfield. Second half Ramos was not good enough. Jung-Hoo Lee before he got hurt was not good enough. And Mike Yastrzemski's too inconsistent offensively, and I have a hole at first base right now. I'm not sure at second, although Fitzgerald would be okay. But do you see where I'm going? I love this signing, and I don't want it to get diluted that I don't, and I'm not excited. I am. I'm really excited about it. I think it's a great move. But it's like, okay, Buster, you showed us you can do it. Let's do it again, and let's do it again, and let's do it again. And I'm not being unrealistic. I'm just saying that I can't live with the outfield the way that the rest of the offense is currently constructed. This is a great signing. Don't get me wrong. But it needs to be a first signing. And I'm greedy, just like you're probably greedy right now. I think Corbin Burns, now that's a major money. After Corbin Burns or after the next big signing, I think they've got one more left on the horizon, and I hope it's Burns. But then it becomes, now you're moving chess pieces. Can I take some of this young pitching and get a right fielder? Can I trade some of this young pitching, possibly get a first baseman short term until Eldridge is ready? I don't think there's going to be three or four of these big moves. I think this is a huge one. It's massive. It sends a lot of great messages around the league to other agents, players, teams. But you need one more of these. And then you start moving the pieces around and you start trading and moving and filling spots. Great first step by Buster. Joe says, I agree with you 100% on everything you are saying. That never happens. That never happens, Joe. Are you drinking? are they keeping Wade Jr.? For now, I've heard within the organization, as much as they love him, that again, you see organizations, he's hurt a lot. Lamont Wade Jr. has hurt a lot. And they want to start relying. That's one of the reasons why Blake Snell is not a Giant and is a Dodger. They don't want to go through this every single year. Man, they got a lot of injuries. Last year, the year before, banged up, injury, injury, injury. Again, you know this old saying, and I've already said it today, so I'm overusing it, but the best ability is availability. And if you start looking at the signings that I think Buster Posey is going to continue to do, they're going to be about guys who play. Willy Adames plays a lot of games. Corbin Burns is a Logan Webb type in terms of the 200 innings. He's going to throw you a lot of innings, just like Logan Webb throws a lot of innings. Just like when Robbie Ray is healthy, he'll throw innings. They want that because what that does is that helps your bullpen, which by the end of the year, a lot of times is going to burn out. And if you're going to go deep in the playoffs, your pen has got to be fresh. Well, how does that happen? You get guys who are reliable. Blake Snell threw 104 innings last year. The Dodgers are going to be great. I'm not here to deny that. And I've said this a few times on the show if you've been listening. Yamamoto threw 90, Snell threw 104. Glasnow got hurt, threw 134. Otani's coming back to pitch, threw none. Tony Gonsolin is their projected fifth starter. He threw none. The Giants aren't going to do that. The Giants aren't going to have a bunch of chance taking. That's what Farhan did. You know, hey, Carlos Rodon worked out great for a year. All these different guys that he brings in. The reason why you get guys cheap, the reason why you get guys to finally say at the end of free agency, fine, I'll go to San Francisco, is because they're flawed. This is why this signing is so great. Willy Adames is not flawed. I'm not saying he's the greatest defender, but he's above average. But people wanted Willy Adames. He had 32 runs and knocked in 115 last year, and he's 29 in the prime of his career. That's not a flawed guy. Free agency, a lot of times, especially if you're the Giants, that first wave hits. If you're Farhan, then Farhan starts scrambling like it's a, you know, like it's a garage sale. How much for this? I can fix it, you know? So he's getting the old record players that are broken that you have to fix. Willy Adames does not have to be fixed. That's a great signing. Tacky Dodgers have legit 8 starters. It's great. They do. Beyond the guys that I'm mentioning, and I don't think they're going to bring back Walker Buehler. I heard a thing maybe on the Cubs with him. Buehler being I'd love Walker Buehler to the Giants. He may not because he's a Dodger, and that just flies in the face of what I just said as far as reliability. But what I'm saying is that if you're not saying Walker Buehler's got to be my number 2 starter, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that if you get Burns and you have Ray and then you have your young guys or whatever, I think one of those guys is going to get traded, to be honest with you. Maybe not in the winter meetings, but for a bat. But Walker Buehler's not going to cost you a ton of money. If he's my 4 or 5 starter, I can live with that. Maybe my 5, I can live with that. He's done it in the past. He closed out the World Series. By the way, you know this. Buster Posey hit his last career home run off of Walker Buehler I was right underneath those cannons when they went off. I'm like, oh my, it was awesome. Don't get me started on that series. Clement says, do you think Matt Chapman signing had an influence on the Adamas signing? Absolutely. Just like I think this is going to be a springboard type of a signing to others, anytime you can get a guy, and I'll give a ton of credit to Matt Chapman, who, by the way, is just a hell of a guy. But I give a ton of credit to Matt Chapman because he came out and was very consistent throughout the season saying, I love playing in San Francisco. I love it. I've lived all over the country, man. San Francisco is awesome. The Bay Area is awesome. Everyone ripping the Bay Area and talking about San Francisco. I'm not saying it's perfect, but all major cities have major problems. We're not going to have a problem getting guys to sign here because of San Francisco. We're going to have a problem signing offensive players because of the park. And again, this is why this is such a great signing, because Willie Adamas is going to hell with it, man. You give me 7 years, $182 million, I'm coming. And here's where I was probably wrong last week on the show, because when I was talking about Adamas, I said, you're going to have to massively overpay. This is a market deal. It's another thing that's big. I don't think they overpaid for Willie Adamas. Willie Adamas at 7 and 182? I mean, think about it. What was the Correa deal? 12 and 300 or something like that? Now, that was a deal where you're like, you know, you're choking on the Correa deal. Double digits? I don't want to give out double digits contracts. I just don't. Because what that means at the end of the contract is you're a prisoner like to an Albert Pujols, who you know at the end of the contract is just going to suck ass. But you're like, I got to do it. I'm the Giants. I got to overpay. I got to give a guy 10 or 12 years. I don't like 10 and 12-year contracts. A 7-year 182, that was market for Willie Adamas. So they didn't even go. I thought they were going to have to go 10 years on an Adamas. I thought they were going to have to overpay by $50 million to get an Adamas. It doesn't look like they did either of those things. I could be wrong. Tacky, 12 and 350. I think you're right, Tacky. I think you're right. Hey, Johnny. Johnny Barstow, that's a great name. A trade for Vlad Guerrero Jr. would be sweet. It would. Vlad Guerrero would be a long-term thing, and I don't know, can Bryce Eldridge play the outfield? I mean, remember when Belt played the outfield, the giraffe? I mean, that's kind of what it would be. I don't know enough, to be honest with you, about Eldridge. If he could, let's say they could flip him out to right field, maybe they could. Eldridge is, what, 6'7"? I mean, Aaron Judge is that big and can play in the outfield. I know that Eldridge is a pretty good athlete. So, I mean, could you get Vlad Guerrero Jr., have him play first base long-term? First base DH type. So you'd have Eldridge play first some, because Vlad's, he's a pretty good athlete for his size. But, I mean, yeah, I'm starting to think about Vlad Guerrero Jr. at first base and Eldridge coming up at some point and playing right. I mean, that's be a good problem to have. I mean, if you can get Vlad and it's a trade which you feel pretty good about. And remember, people forget this about Toronto because they're up in Canada and people often don't think about them. That's a major market team. Like, they're in on Juan Soto. They were in on Otani. It's not like the Toronto Blue Jays can't afford all the guys that they have. I mean, so they can keep Vlad. But, yeah, if they're looking to move Vlad and let's say they want some young pitching, you know, they would probably ask for Bryce Eldridge, which – I don't know what the organization thinks. I mean, from what I can see from Bryce Eldridge as a minor league player and the way that he zoomed through the system last year, I wouldn't want to move Bryce Eldridge Jr. But for Vlad Guerrero Jr., I mean, that's different. Like, you got to give up something to get something. I don't know that they have to be that desperate at this point, but again, I'm just going through my head, Vlad Guerrero. What's Vlad, like 28? Is he that old? I mean, look, somebody look that up and tell me. Vlad Guerrero Junior age. How old is he? He's 25. What am I high? I'm not. Vlad's 25? Okay. Well, maybe now we're talking. I mean, I like Bryce Eldridge. But think about this. He's 20. Vlad Guerrero Jr.'s 25? I thought he was like 27, 28. He's 25. Want to put a 25-year-old first baseman, Vlad Guerrero Jr., with Adamas at short, Chapman at third? Woo! See, now you can say, okay, Bailey's, if you had Vlad, now we're going crazy. But if you had Vlad at first base, then you can have Patrick Bailey just be a defensive guy. Or you can have Yaz being a great defensive right fielder and not have to hit as much. But right now, as you look at the organization, or you look at the lineup, even with Adamas, you got to get a first baseman who can swing it. Or you got to get a right fielder who can swing it. Like, you got to get, let's go, let's keep going. Or as somebody said a little bit earlier, you got to get a DH. I mean, you know, they still need to get some pieces here, but you want to look at Vlad. He's 25. My goodness. Let's see. I'd only do that if Vlad extends. I would agree with that, no doubt. You don't want to give away Bryce Eldridge or anybody else unless you, you know, you don't want a 1 or 2 year rental. That's not where this team is. This team cannot afford 1 or 2 year rentals. It's, you know, you're getting Adamas at 7 years. You got Chapman long term now. Now you're starting to build some pieces. But the thing that allows this to happen too, you know, you're not giving a ton of money, obviously. He's not even to arbitration to Ramos. This is the thing that would drive me crazy about the Giants. Bailey's not making any money. Ramos is not making any money. Jung-Hoo Lee's making a decent amount of money. Yaz isn't making a ton of money. Tyler Fitzgerald's making no money. Harrison's not making money. Birdsong's not making money. Your bullpen, you know, one of the Rogers guys is gone now. Your bullpen's not making a ton of money. You're not overpaying the pen. Ray's making, I think, 23 this year. Webb's making a fair amount of money. If you get Corbin Burns, that's a ton of money. But still, they're not in Dodgers, Yankees category, Phillies categories. They're not doing that. They've got money to spend. And I think that's what was part of what the frustration was for the Giants fans. It's like, look, you've got a lot of guys under team control for a long time. Why aren't you spending money right now? It's crazy that they weren't. So, huge. Let's see. With Vlad, we were extremely right-handed, though. Great point. Great point. Let's see. Yeah, I mean, you're right about that. I mean, they could get more. They definitely need to get more left-handed. Adamas is a right-handed hitter. Chapman right-handed. Fitzgerald right-handed. Bailey switch. Yaz left. Jung-Hoo Lee left. Ramos right. Yeah, you're right. They could use some left-handed hitting. There's no question about it. Let's see what else. Joe says maybe get Santander. Yeah, we were talking about that a little bit earlier. I don't know what Santander would want. I'm sure he'd want a ton. I like Santander a lot. I am a little bit leery of a guy coming off a he's been solid for a long time, but coming off like a really career year. Santander last year, 235, 44 home runs, 102 RBIs. My goodness. Yeah, he had a great year. And you're going to be paying him for that year, which makes it a little bit nervous. He's 30. That ain't bad. He just turned 30 October 19th. So, again, that's a guy that's still probably got, what, 3 or 4 good years? Maybe not in his prime. He's a little bit older. But, you know, you're looking at 3 or 4 years. I wouldn't take a Santander on a 6 or 7 year deal. I think that's an overpay. Santander has played some outfield as well. So, he's not a great. I mean, yeah, he's a right fielder. He's not great out there. But, again, you're talking right field, first place. You can play both. That wouldn't be bad. Yeah, you're right, Tacky. He can play first base, no doubt about it. Let's see. Let me spin up here. All right, does everybody have a drink in their hand? Can we have a little toast to Willy Adamas as a member of the San Francisco Giants, if you're just tuning in, for the breaking news of 7 years, $182 million. There's a let's fucking go right there. Let's go. Very nice. A little LFG. What else do we got here? Very good stuff. Man, I really appreciate you hanging out and jumping on for the Willy Adamas party. 7 years, $182 million. Just to go over the chalkboard there real quick. Thanks for tuning in. John Lund Unleashed at John Lund Radio if you want to hit me up. The breaking news, Willy Adamas, 7 years, $182 million, topping the previous high for the organization of $167 million given to Buster Posey. Who actually signed this dude? 251, 32 home runs, 112 RBIs. He's only 29 years old. I put a Burns next question mark up there on the chop board because we're hearing that maybe Corbin Burns likes this and could be on the way as well. We'll keep you up to date. Lineup, we've gone that over that time and time again. That's probably the most fun here. Isn't that the most fun? Like you sign a guy, you get excited, and then you start thinking about yourself or thinking about what's the lineup going to be? What's the lineup going to be? I know that the left side of the infield is one of the best in baseball with Adamas and Chapman. That's pretty nice. Second base, moving Fitzgerald over. Again, winter meetings next week. So if you're saying Tyler Fitzgerald's at second base, I can live with that. Much more than at shortstop. He's not a great defensive shortstop. Now, again, there's a guy who's an athlete. Adamas stole 20-plus bases last year, so now he and Fitzgerald, athletic guys. Chapman runs the bases at an above-average clip. You're starting to get those athletes that I've been talking about. I was talking about all of last season, like Farhan. What are you doing? You play 81 games in this ballpark, get some athletes in this place. Very nice. Let's see. Let me move this over a little bit. Tacky, I moved a fridge and tweaked something on my side earlier. You okay? I need a drink. 49er Red Zone says, I'm toasted right now. Hey, 49er Red Zone, what do you think of tomorrow? What do you think of tomorrow? And then they play on Thursday against the – are you just done? You're like, I'm done with the season. Let's see. Taylor makes $12 million this year. Oh, he does? Oh, you're right. Taylor. Yeah, you're right. You're right about that. Yeah, I'd like to try to get rid of him. That's not the best. Let's see. All right. I've given you enough time to get yourself a drink. So, again, they're not sponsoring the show, but they should. Hanson's, which is a – they're a vodka brand, actually. I'm a big fan of their vodkas. I'm actually a part of their vodka club. And not to pump them, but in the summertime, they do a grapefruit vodka that is outstanding. And in the wintertime, they do an espresso vodka that for espresso martinis that is out of this world, and it sells out like that. And so I think every time they do a delivery quarterly, I think it's three bottles. And so I get three bottles of the espresso vodka, and it is outstanding. And they're not giving me a dime. I'm just saying. It is outstanding, this stuff. So I would just, you know. The holidays are coming up. Maybe that's something that you would check out. Burns from Bakersfield. Yeah, I'm from Southern California. I know what you're talking about. Not quite NorCal, but that could be more inclined someone not from California. I agree with you. But you know, here's the thing, too. Not to go on a tangent, but you just brought up a great point, Ink to Audio. You brought up a great point, which is, you know, some people, when they're signing, and it's just like real life, sometimes you want to go home and sometimes you don't. And I am a big believer that if the current regime was in place with Buster as president of baseball operations and Bob Melvin as the manager, that Aaron Judge would be a Giant. He didn't like Gabe Kapler, I'm told, in that meeting. And that's easy because Gabe is very arrogant. And then you look at, you know, Farhan, who I just don't think could close deals. That was my biggest issue with him beyond all the other things that you can complain about. I just don't think he could close deals. He's not that kind of a guy. He's a numbers guy. It's really hard to be everything, and he just didn't come across as a guy who was going to close a deal. But some guys want to come home, and some guys don't want to come home. Some guys like that they live in a certain place and then can come home and all that kind of stuff. I was on the East Coast for a long time doing radio stuff, and my family was on the West Coast where I grew up. And after a while, I was like, I want to come home. I know a lot of people are like, man, I love living in, you know, place X, and my family's over here, and I don't want to go home. You know, after a while, and you know what I'm talking about. You know, you leave somewhere, you come back. Sometimes you're just itching to go home. Sometimes you're not. So, you know, I don't know Corbin Burns. I just know this, that from what I'm understanding, and somebody who's as good on her sources as what Susan Slusser is saying that Corbin Burns has kind of had his eyes raised. But I heard the same thing from somebody I was texting with just before I came on here, that, believe me, this is the great part about this whole situation, to repeat myself one more time for people who are just jumping in here. This is about Willy Adames, and we should be excited about it, but this is about the Giants saying no more. No more being acting like we're small market. No more, you know, going after the big fish and not getting them. Okay, we're not going to go after Juan Soto. We're going to spend our time on guys that we think are attainable, and I've been screaming from the rooftops for that. What are you doing going after Judge? What are you doing going after Harper? You're wasting your time. The beauty queen ain't going to you. She's not. I never chased that person. Like, look at me. Hey, beauty queen. She's like, get out of here. I don't waste my time. I wouldn't waste my time chasing that if I was out on a Friday night. I got to stay in my lane. No, LeVar Ball did not make that up. You know, I know what I'm looking after. And look, Willy Adames is, while he's not the beauty queen, he's pretty damn close. You know, he's pretty close. But I think that the Giants, and this is big with athletes, I can tell you this, because I've talked to enough of them. This is big with athletes wanting, you know, a team wanting you. Hey, Willy Adames, and this clearly happened. Hey, Willy Adames, you're our top priority. Not Juan Soto, because the Yankees are going, hey, they're talking to, you know, Willy Adames' agents, and they're saying, hey, Willy, as soon as we're done fawning over and slobbering over Juan Soto, you're our second choice. Well, how does that make you feel? I mean, think about that. If you were up for a job and somebody said, hey, you know, this guy or this woman over here, that's our top choice, but if that person doesn't sign with us, then we're going to get to you. Willy Adames says, to hell with you, Dodgers. To hell with you, Yankees. See, they're waiting right now. And what's he going to do? What's he going to do? What's he going to do? And they're waiting. And they're trying to keep Willy Adames online. Hey, you still there? Still there? And the Giants went, clearly the Giants went, you're our top guy, man. This is who we want. We want you. And there's an ego involved here. And all of a sudden, Willy Adames says, hey, man, the Giants want me. And then they, you know, hey, we're going to give you 7 and 182. You're our top priority. And he says, you know what? All right, I know it's not great to hit that ballpark, but I'll go for it. And it's Buster Posey on the other end of the line, Hall of Famer. I know he's not in there now, but he's going to be, or yet, but he is going to be. I mean, that's a lot better walking into the room going, hi, I'm Buster Posey, Hall of Fame catcher, won 3 World Series. Here are my rings. Then Farhan walking in going, I have a computer printout of how I think you're going to do in our park, and I think it'll be just fine. The guy's going, get out of my house, man. Probably not in his house. Yeah, can we sign Soto and Burns? I really don't think that they're, in fact, not think. They're not. They're not in on Soto. They never were in on Soto. They didn't try. Buster Posey is smart. He's like, we're not at that point. They're not one player away. You know, if Juan Soto's thinking to himself, if I go to the Dodgers, we win World Series. They've already done that, but, you know, we're World Series. Go to the Yankees, we're winning World Series. Willie Adames is a great piece, but they're not one away. They're Corbin Burns and a couple of trades away from being a team that can be back in the conversation in the NL West. That's what they are. So this is a great signing, but this also tells me that Buster Posey's smart. I can get Willie Adames. He's obtainable. I'm not going to waste my time with Soto like they did or like Harper like they did or whatever. You know, they were too busy about, let's get a star so we can turn the turnstiles. I was never convinced that even Judge was about winning at a really high level. It was about the marketing people going, man, he can turn the turnstiles. You know, Bryce Harper could turn the turnstiles. They just wanted one star so they could market the team. Willie Adames is about making this team better and then signing other guys and winning games. I know that that's crazy to say, but believe me when I tell you, a lot of organizations are about just getting a star on the team to sell tickets, to get people in the park, not about winning games. And this is about winning games. Willie Adames, targeting Willie Adames and saying, we're going to win games. This is the first step. And it tells you that the front office and the people that have the purse strings say, okay, Buster, we trust you. You were a great player. We got a ton of respect for you. We're going to loosen the purse strings for you. And you know this is just as well as I do. I didn't care. These guys finishing second. You know, you'd see the reports about, oh, they almost got that guy. You know what the best team of all time is? The guys the Giants almost got. That's like the best team of all time. Bryce Harper and Ohtani and Judge and Correa. And I mean, it's like, that's the best team ever. The guys the Giants almost got. It doesn't make me feel any better. Have you ever gone to like your girlfriend or your wife or a friend and said, God, I almost bought you that. Hey, honey, I almost bought you that diamond necklace. It doesn't get you anywhere. Go in the bedroom with her one night and say, you know what? I almost got you that diamond necklace. She's going to go, well, I almost gave you sex tonight. That's even worse. Like, don't tell me you almost got me something. Like, for some reason, Farhan wanted this credit for almost getting a guy. You know, we pursued that guy, right? Well, clearly you didn't close the deal. You either close deals or you don't in sports. I don't care how close you got. I don't care that you talked to a guy. I don't care that you made him an offer. I don't care that you came in second place. Tell me when you get a guy. That's why tonight is so exciting. Because it's exciting because they got a guy. It's exciting, as I said, what they're showing the fans and other players and agents and everything else right ahead of the winter meetings that they sign a guy. But on top of it, it's a hitter. And I've said this consistently. They can't get hitters around here. They're going to have to trade excess pitching for the hitting. Hitters won't sign. Egg on my face. I'm wrong. But it's Buster Posey doing it. And that's a huge sign. Now, maybe he's a one-off. Maybe he's just a guy that's just, he's a one-off. Nobody else is going to sign. I got a feeling that this might be the start of something. Like, if it was Corbin Burns, believe me, we'd still be having a show tonight, and we'd still be excited, and we'd still be drinking whiskey and all that kind of stuff. We'd still be doing that. But pitchers do sign here. We've had them sign here before. It's exciting, but it's not like, oh, my God, this could really change the organization. Now, if Corbin Burns signs, me and you are going to be having another one of these no matter what time it is. I mean, that's just as exciting. But when you get a hitter to come to this ballpark and you don't have to give him double-digit years and you get him for the price that I think a lot of teams were willing to pay and you get him away from the Yankees and you get him away from the Dodgers who are saying, hey, we're going to work on Juan Soto, but you're our backup plan. And Buster Posey tells him, clearly, you're our guy. You're not our backup plan. We're not waiting for Juan Soto. You're our guy. And you're playing to his ego. That's good. That's a good Saturday night for the Giants. To get a hitter to come here, to not massively overpay for the guy, to get a guy that was wanted by the Dodgers and the Yankees who are waiting on Juan Soto, which you were smart enough not to get involved in, that's a major win for a team who generally can't get hitters to come here. That's a statement to the rest of the league. So give me your thoughts. We are unleashed talking about Willie Adames, 7 years, $182 million to the San Francisco Giants. If you want to get into anything about it, the contract, what could be next, like a Corbin Burns, what the lineup could look like, any of this stuff, we are here for you. Max Fried would be nice. Parik Dhapa, is that Derek Papa or what is it? Is that not? Whoo, I agree with you there. Ink to Audio says, I think Christian Walker is a perfect fit in the mold of Adames. I like Christian Walker a ton. From what I understand, there is a pretty robust market for Christian Walker. And as far as and plus you're taking away from the Diamondbacks, I like Christian Walker a lot. I think he's massively underrated. He's a good defensive player as well at first base, which is massive. I hear there's a big market for him. Look, after Adames signs, I'm not saying that that can't happen, but I think that Walker is the type of guy that's going to get 5, 6, 7 year contract. Do you want to give that to a first baseman with Bryce Eldridge on the horizon? Again, I don't want to rush Bryce Eldridge to the major leagues. He's 20 years old, and to put that kind of pressure on him to say, hey, by the way, you got to help save our offense. Maybe he's ready. I don't know his mentality. Maybe he's ready to do that. I'd love to get him a couple of years in the minors. The Giants, let's be honest. I think you would agree with me on this. The Giants have rushed a lot of guys to the majors from a hitting standpoint, actually from a pitching standpoint because of injuries as well. And I'd like to just see him develop, gain confidence, and come up when he's ready and not have to force him. We don't have a first baseman. It's Lamont Wade Jr. who's always hurt. And we got to bring him up here, and hopefully he can, you know, do it. I mean, we've seen that with guys up and down from AAA, and I just don't think it's a great thing. So, I'm not saying I wouldn't like Christian Walker. I'm saying that you probably need a two-year stopgap. If you put Walker in there and then Eldridge could play right field long-term, maybe that's a fit. But, yeah, I'm going a long-winded way of saying I like Christian Walker. I just don't know if it's a fit. Rockin' says, is Goldschmidt a free agent? Then they signed a guy in the front office yesterday named Pike Goldschmidt. I don't know if he's a relation. Paul Goldschmidt last year was awful in St. Louis as a Cardinal. I think he's going to be one of those guys at the end is going to have to prove to somebody. I don't know that he's at the point in his career where he's like a, you know, spring training invite type of guy. I don't think he's that, but it's certainly, and I know why you're bringing up Goldschmidt because he absolutely crushes the Giants. There's no question, but I think you'd have to do a deep dive into Goldschmidt and see if, because you're right, because I don't want to contradict myself here. Could Goldschmidt fill in for a couple of years until Eldridge or 1 year until Eldridge was ready? Possibly. I'd have to do a little bit more work and look at Goldschmidt and the kind of year he had last year, but he wasn't good. I know that. And so I don't know if he's done. I don't know if he's got another year. What's Goldschmidt, 37? Let me look at here. I think Goldschmidt's like 37. Somebody can help me out here faster than I can type. But, yeah, I think he's older. But he did hit 22 home runs last year. 245, 65 RBIs did Goldschmidt. And so, let's see, there's a story here that says his price tag is about $8 million a year. There's no way. I'm not paying him. He's 36. So, worst season of his career last year. He's 36 years old. That's not too old. He can bounce back from that. I don't know what his injury situation was last year. I know he was banged up a little bit, and he's had some injuries. So, I mean, you know, hit 22 home runs last year with the Cardinals. Didn't have a lot of protection in that lineup. They weren't very good. Oh, you said 37. Maybe he's 37. Yeah, I'm not saying he's not over the hill. I'm trying to think of guys who you could get for a couple of years at a decent price at first base until Eldridge is ready. But I think you got to get some power there. Let's see what else. Alonso. Yeah, Pete Alonso is a guy that, again, we've talked about a couple of times, numerous times. I like Pete Alonso. Is he going to, I don't want to overpay for Pete Alonso, though. I mean, what does Pete Alonso want? What does he want in years? What does he want? I mean, that's serious power. Pete Alonso's he's a below-average defensive first baseman, but look, you're looking for some power. He's going to do that, but how much is he going to cost you? That's a good question. Let's see. Josh Naylor, that's an interesting name. Somebody brought up Kim at second base. We talked about that a little bit. I don't think they're going to go after Kim now. I think that that's passed. With Willie Adames now, Kim, when he's healthy, like this year he's banged up a little bit, so I could see him playing second base, but is he appreciably better than what Tyler Fitzgerald might be at second base? Maybe. He is a good athlete. He's not up to the level maybe of Tyler Fitzgerald. My thing about Fitzgerald, and one of the reasons why it's great that they're signing Adamas, and maybe you felt the same way, maybe you didn't. But again, to go back to one of my philosophies of question mark, question mark, question mark, and how many of those question marks you have, no matter what sport we're talking about, kind of dictates how your season's going to be. So as a fan, if you look at your roster, no matter what team that you like, let's just use baseball for an example, and you say, geez, if we come through at third, and if we come through with our bullpen, and if we come through in center field, and if we come through in right, and if we could, when you start doing that, your team's not very good. Because a few of those things are going to go in your favor, and a few of those things are not going to go in your favor. So clearly, what you try to do is you try to minimize the but, if, whens, what, where, how. You try to minimize those things. And so now when you sign an Adamas, now next year we don't have to go into the, you know, we don't have to sit there and wonder if one of the young players is going to step up at shortstop. That's gone. Now we look at second base. Now we look at first base. Now we look at right field. Now when you start minimizing those things, then you know your team's good. Now injuries do happen throughout a season, but I hate bringing up the Dodgers, but if I look at the Dodgers and I say, geez, there's not a lot of holes there, then I know my team's going to be good unless they just like the Niners this year and they just have massive injury problems. But when you start going if, maybe, then you're like, that's not going to happen. You have like six or eight of those. Your team's no good. Greg Papa said on KBR he saw Eldred to San Jose and he's legit. Believe me, I went down and saw Eldred's at San Jose. He is legit. He looks legit, but he looks legit against, you know, A-ball players. I thought Gary Brown at one point looked legit. It's just, you got to see him at majors. You got to see him make the adjustments. You know what I'm talking about. Ramos came up and tore it up. I think he's a question mark next year. Not a huge question mark, but somewhat of a question mark because in the second half, teams adjusted to him. He struggled high fastballs and the such on the inner half. He struggled a little bit. And now you're going, geez, can he do it? We talk about this all the time, especially in baseball is the biggest one, is, you know, there's a guy who comes up and he tears the cover off, and then all of a sudden teams adjust, and then you adjust back. And after all the adjustment period is done in any sport, and that player is still legit, then they're really, really good. You know, Steph Curry used to have problems with physicality. He got bigger, he got stronger. What else? You got nothing for Steph Curry except hoping that he gets old. He's adjusted a million times back. You can't stop him anymore. It's impossible. Same thing. You know, you look at certain hitters or certain pitchers, certain guys will come up and they'll tear the cover off the ball, and then we as a media or we as fans or whatever the case may be, this is the greatest player of all time! And then teams adjust back to him and he can't adjust, or he can. And that's when you know. So Bryce Eldridge looks great at A. I'm not here to tell you that Bryce Eldridge isn't going to be great. And you've seen Bryce Eldridge, I'm sure, clips or whatever the case may be. We all have now the opportunity to look at a lot of stuff. But until he gets to the major leagues and sees the best pitching on planet Earth, I don't know. And then not only then, it's like, okay, he gets off to a great start. But then once they adjust to him, then he adjusts. I mean, there's a number of adjustments that need to be made. And then you can tell if a guy's a legit player. I mean, I talk about this with Brock Purdy all the time. Brock Purdy came up. People didn't know him. He's great. Everybody's throwing $60 million at him. And now you look at him this year, and I know there's injuries with the Niners. But I don't know that I give Brock Purdy all that money because now teams are saying, okay, this is what we think you can't do. Prove us wrong. And sometimes you can and sometimes you can't. So it takes a lot of times, a couple of years, until you really know if a person is legit. So based on just watching Bryce Eldridge at A-ball, I can't tell you that whether he's going to be good or great. I mean, he certainly has a ton of the tools. And you start checking off the list of on a guy in every single sport. Like, okay, he passed this test, he passed this test, he passed this test. But until somebody comes up to the major leagues against the best pitching that there is with all the nasty stuff that's going around, oh, by the way, we know how to get him out. This is the way. And then everybody does that. And if you can't adjust to that, you're dead in the water. That's what baseball is about. Oh, we found your hole. Can you fix it? Whether you're a hitter, whether you're a pitcher, whatever it is. Oh, you can't do this? We're going to do this forever. You could do 9 things out of 10 at the plate. Well, if there's that one thing you can't do, that's all they're going to do to you, then what? I got way too deep into that one. Ramos is legit versus lefties. MF, you are 100% correct. Rockin'. I knew Era 84. I've seen you. Tyro is more than likely gone. I'm assuming he's gone. He was let go. Did he sign somewhere? I don't think he signed somewhere, but he is not a member of the 40-man roster. He's gone. We need a stud pitcher. Hi, Dreg. We need a stud pitcher to replace Snell. We've talked about it this evening about one Corbin Burnes. Corbin Burnes is on the radar of the Giants. They are talking. Maybe something gets done next week. I love Roky Suzuki. I'd love both those guys. And Suzuki, the thing about Suzuki's situation, you may know this, but I'll just remind you. Suzuki's situation is not about money. Suzuki's situation is where he wants to go and feel comfortable. His deal, he could have waited. I mean, I give this kid a ton of credit. He could have waited a couple of years and gotten a big contract. He's getting, I think it's next week or a couple of weeks or a month or whatever it is. I read it this morning but forgot. But he's getting posted. And it's not going to be a ton of money. It's kind of like Ohtani when Ohtani came over. Ohtani just wanted to come over and play Major League Baseball, and he knew eventually he had a ton of endorsements anyway. He knew eventually he was going to get paid, but he didn't come over. It wasn't the Angels didn't pay the most money. I mean, maybe they did, but it wasn't, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars. It wasn't that at all. Now, Yamamoto, the way it works over there is, I think it's, what is it, 7 or 8 years, whatever free agency is. It's ridiculous. Then they get to that number, they can be posted. Then once they go through the entire process in Japan, yeah, then they can get a ton of money, and there's a posting fee that has to go to their old team. But if they're going over early, which we're seeing more and more Japanese players, they want to challenge themselves earlier in Major League Baseball, and they know, just like Ohtani did, that they were eventually going to get paid, and they know that they've got endorsements from Japan that they can live on anyway, and they're not as obsessed as American players are with making money. They know that they're eventually going to make it, and if they don't, they don't. They would rather get challenged at the highest level. Suzuki's not going to be about money. It's not, because he hasn't completed the whole process. So his number, I think it's the international pool, if I'm not wrong, that you're going to sign Suzuki out of. So it's not going to be a ton of money. So the thing about Suzuki, and again, this is something where you get excited with Buster Posey. Hey, I'm a former catcher. I understand. Here's how we develop pitching. This is a great ballpark for pitching. Is you could go out and spend a ton of money on Corbin Burnes and then add Suzuki. And we've heard he's going to the Dodgers, which maybe he is. We've heard potentially the Padres. But again, pitching does sign here. And that's not about spending a bunch of money. Could you imagine if they could get Burnes and Suzuki? That was their 2-3, and Ray was the 4. And now you're cooking with gas because Harrison or Birdsong or, you know, Black or Wisenhunt, whoever those young pitchers are that you like, you can trade some of those guys and get more bats. Ooh, now we're cooking. Now we're cooking. Let's see. Manassian, Billy Mays, but wait, there's more. Let's hope. I don't know how much Manassian was involved in this. Here's an interesting one from Tacky. I'm very surprised that it took us this long. And, okay, Rockin' New Era 84 said the same thing. Bellinger would be a good trade. Lefty can play first base, outfield, athletic as AF. Yeah, you're right. I'm a little surprised that we haven't. Now, maybe this is going to happen. Maybe they were just so focused on Adames that then, okay, that domino fell. And now let's look and see what, you know, see what we can do from here. That's what I would think, is that they were working on Adames, because I really believe this is the case, and I really believe this is how the Giants have to do business, is just overlove somebody. Adames, you are our guy. You are our guy. You're our guy. You're our guy. Everybody else is after Soto. You're our guy. And he feels all the love, and you pay him a fair amount of money, 7 and 182, which is more than fair. And you get the guy because you showed him all the love. You gave him the money. You checked all the boxes with him. That's something that Farhan didn't do. He's busy chasing the prom queen who's not coming here. You know, it's just not happening. So I think that they focused a lot on Adames, and I think that now they're going to go, okay, a Corbin Burnes or a, you know, whatever other hitters that they're going to bring. But let me go back to your point of Bellinger, because it's a really good one. The Cubs, if you haven't heard, they want to move either Seiya Suzuki, who I really like, and that'd be pretty cool. You get Seiya Suzuki over here, you get a Japanese player on your roster, and it's like, hey, we've got a Japanese player, Roky Suzuki. We can make things comfortable for you. You guys can hang or whatever. So that's, you know, there's some legitimacy to that. Suzuki's been hurt a little bit, but he's a really good defender. He's an above-average athlete. He's a right fielder. He's got pretty good pop. He's been injured the last couple of years for the Cubs, but when he's on the field, he's a really solid player. But there's been rumors that they want to move either Seiya Suzuki or Cody Bellinger, and Bellinger makes a ton of sense for the very reason that you said. his deal, he just picked up his option this year. A lot of people thought after the year Bellinger had 2 years ago with the Cubs that he was going to opt out of this deal. He had a lot of injuries. He ran into center field and he hurt his wrist, so he was out for a while. So he didn't have quite the year that he had in Chicago the first year, but he wasn't bad like he was at the end of his tenure with the Dodgers. And that's a great point by you. I'm sorry, I can't remember who first brought this up, whether it was Rockin' New Era or Stacky or one of these guys. But what are you guys? But Bellinger can play first. He can play outfield. He's a Gold Glove center fielder. You already have Jung-Hoo Lee out there. I understand that. But you want to put Bellinger in right? I could deal with that. There's your, for people who are saying, wait a minute. The lineup is really right-handed heavy. Well, Bellinger's a left-handed hitter. I know he's a Dodger, but we got to get past, or was a Dodger, but we got to get past that. He's from Scottsdale, Arizona, so he's a West Coast guy. He'd probably like to come back this way. But he's a great base runner. He's fast. Defensively, you can put him at first or in the outfield. He's an above-average outfielder for sure. He's a Gold Glove type outfielder for sure. He can play any of the three outfield spots. He could DH for you. Ding, 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 ding. Now you're looking at a DH, and now you're rotating some players from that position. So, yeah, Bellinger to me makes a ton of sense. Now, he's got some injuries. He's not perfect. You want him to be more, obviously, clearly, the guy who was in Chicago 2 years ago, but you don't want him to be the guy that was the end of the tenure of the Dodgers. I think he is past that, but that's a good name. Versatile guy, outfield, first base, power, speed, athletic. Go to the ballpark again. I sound like a broken record, but I want athletes in this ballpark. And Bellinger wouldn't cost you a ton. He's making, I'm saying this off the top of my head, 25, 30 maybe. I mean, that's a fairly steep price, but he opted in. I think it's 24. I could be wrong there. Now I got to go to the computer again. Can somebody help me out? I'm asking this quite a bit tonight. Let me look at Cody Bellinger contract. Let me see what we got here. Probably not going to change my opinion. I'd still like to get him. We're just throwing a lot of things against the wall here. I like it. 27.5. You live with $27.5 million for Cody Bellinger? How old's Bellinger at this point? 29. Again, another guy that's in the prime of his career. That's the kind of players I want. You know, you start looking at it, and you look at Chapman, prime of his career kind of guy, a little older side. Willie Adames, 29. You know, Logan Webb, prime of his career. Corbin Burns, prime of his career. You want to win games. There, you can look at every single team, and look, there's outliers in all sports, but you start looking at common threads among teams that win, and one of the common threads among teams that win at a really high level and consistently is they've got a lot of guys in the prime of their career, and that's probably something that Buster Posey looked at when he inherited this roster, going, we got a bunch of young guys, we got a bunch of old guys. I said that all last year. You got young guys, you got old guys. Old guys are inconsistent, young guys are inconsistent. You know who's not inconsistent? Guys in the prime of their career. Now, they can be, but not as much. So Bellinger's 29. Now, so you start looking at guys and you're going, okay, prime of career, prime of career, prime of career. And you're always on a baseball team, you're going to have some young guys and you're going to have some old guys. But the last couple of years for the Giants, too many old guys, too many young guys. Start getting some guys in the prime of their career. That's what Adames is. That's what Bellinger would be. I like Bellinger. I do. I know a lot of people just because of the Dodger days and the way things ended there, but he had a really good first year with the Cubs, decent last year, but it was broken up by that wrist injury that he had. He ran into a center field wall. And oh, by the way, Cody, behind that ivy in Chicago, a brick wall. Not good for the wrist. Tacky, no Yaz, Wilmer DH, and I don't, man. What does Lund think of Yaz, MF? I really like him. You know, he's a gamer, and he's got so many big hits for the Giants. And, you know, all these different things are really positive for Mike Yastrzemski, but I don't want him in right field as my primary right fielder. If Mike Yastrzemski can play right some and DH some and pinch hit some and you know, play some center, and, you know, he's a perfect fourth outfielder to me and a guy who can come in late as a defensive replacement in right field. That's what Mike Yastrzemski to me is. He's got some power. You know, he can, you know, give him 300 at bats, like, you know, 350, whatever the case may be. I don't want him to get 500 or 600 at bats. I don't want him to be my primary right fielder. I don't. He's made a lot of great plays, and I'm not an anti-Mike Yastrzemski guy. He can steal a base. There's a lot of great things that Yastrzemski does, but he gets into those. He's a peak and valley guy. And as a fan, doesn't that drive you crazy? Just tell me what you're going to be. And there's, you know, for long stretches, he's nothing. At the end of last year, he was really good. He's a great clubhouse guy. He's tough. He's, you know, he's a lot of things that you want. You'd expect that from the guy who's the grandson of Yaz. You know, I mean, you'd get that. Carl Yastrzemski's the grandson. He's been around baseball his whole life. I like the guy. I don't want to come across as I don't, but I don't want him to be my primary right fielder unless I fill first base at a really high level and I fill maybe second base at a really high level. And I, do you know what I mean? And then all of a sudden you got a bunch of hitters and I can afford to have a defense first right fielder and Mike Yastrzemski who can give me a little bit of pop every now and then. But if your lineup is filled with those guys, and that's been the last couple of years for the Giants, it's filled with, God, I hope he can make contact. Or I hope, you know, there's just too many guys. Like, if you watch last year, the Giants, the runners in scoring position and playing just some basic baseball and all this kind of, they got too many guys in the lineup that are just peak and valley, swing and miss, not consistent. That's what Mike Yastrzemski is. He's kind of exactly what the Giants have been the last couple of years. Just not consistent, not staying healthy. Yaz tends to get hurt. He plays hard. He knows right field as well as anybody. He's a great defensive guy, especially at Oracle Park. I like him. I don't want to be forced to say I don't. It's just the way that the team is constructed, I don't know that you can have a defense first right fielder. I'd love him to be the fourth outfielder, get some at-bats, there's no question, but I don't know that he's a starting right fielder for a team that's going to go far in the playoffs, and that's what I want. John, hi, Johnny. Trade Yaz for a case of baseball. See, he's right in here. He's like, hell with that. I'm trying to be nice to the guy. He's like, no. No, I'm not having that. Let's see, 420. If they want to go after Bellinger, Yaz would be probably a part of the deal. I know some people with the Cubs, and that's not the direction that they're looking to go. If they're going to trade Bellinger, they don't like Bellinger because he's making $27 million next year. And for a lot of reasons that we've talked about, the injuries that the Giants have, and Buster Posey's like, I'm sick of these injuries, man. I want guys to play. Bellinger got hurt last year again. And they don't want to pay $27.5 million for a guy that got hurt. And the only reason they're talking about Seiya Suzuki, who I really like, for the Cubs, moving one or the other, either Bellinger or Suzuki, same thing. Suzuki's missed a lot of games over the last couple of years, at least last year he did, and he's making a decent amount of money, and they teams want more consistent players. They want him to play more games. If you look at the 49ers, for example, Jimmy Garoppolo got traded because he got hurt as much as anything. So did Eric Armstead. After a while, these guys are like, we've had it. We've had it with guys who are not consistently posting. And that's where I think Buster Posey's looking at this thing as a guy who, other than obviously when he got smashed at home plate, Buster Posey played. They want guys to play. And I know that sounds pretty elementary. No shit, Lund. They want guys who can play. Duh. But, you know, Cody Bellinger last year, a lot of injuries, you know, especially the one to the wrist. And that's why both those guys for the Cubs, or one of those guys, I should say, is on the block. Because they just haven't played consistent enough, consistently. I mean, not consistent baseball, consistent playing in games. So that's one of the deal. Miguel, welcome. I trust Buster more than Farhan. I trust Buster asleep at the switch, sleeping in the middle of the night, than I did Farhan wide awake. That's the biggest thing. I keep saying this, but if we got new people jumping into the chat here, this is huge. It's not just huge for Willy Adames itself and that signing, 7-182. It's huge because a hitter in the prime of his career who's one of the top guys, and after Juan Soto, everyone would have been scrambling for Adames. Like, if the Dodgers don't get Soto, look at their situation at shortstop. They could have used Adames, no question. The Yankees, they like Volpe at shortstop, but they would move Volpe to second base to accommodate Adames. They said that. That's in the New York papers. That's Mark Feinstein and all those guys who are back there, Joel Sherman, saying they wanted, they're going to move Volpe to second base because they were going to, you know, Torres is a free agent as well. Gleyber Torres is a free agent, and Torres is probably leaving. So they were going to do a Volpe and Adames thing at second and short. This is not a guy that's like, it's the end of free agency like Farhan did last year. It's 2 a.m. at the bar. Everyone's scrambling to get somebody. That's what Farhan did at the end of free agency. Damn, I got to get somebody. I screwed around all offseason trying to get the big fish who wouldn't even give me the time of day. I better sign Jorge Soler. I better sign Blake Snell late. That's what he did the last 2 years. They were mostly garbage signings. Mitch Haniger, like 2 years ago at the end of free agency, he scrambled. None of those guys worked out. This year at the end of free agency, he scrambled. Got Chapman. I'll give him that. You got to give credit where credit is due. But outside of Chapman, Those guys didn't work out. 2 years ago, he traded all those guys. Ross Stripling, Mitch Haniger. Please. That was his free agent haul because he was going after Aaron Judge 2 years ago. Buster Posey went, I'm not doing that. I'm showing love to Adames. Great move. He was a double agent, I'm convinced. I agree with you 100%. He's going back to the Dodgers. He was a double agent. Farhan is clueless. I would agree. Just not a fan. Personally, a good guy. Had him on a lot when I was working with Tom. Not a bad guy. Nice guy. New baseball. Couldn't close a deal. I mean, we all have friends like that. I have a friend that owns a computer company, Computer Chips. And, man, does he know a lot about computer chips. Just back. Try to talk to him, you know, just in a normal sense. No. He couldn't pick up a – he could be in a bar and it's like, he's a good-looking guy, too. A lot of money. No. Computer chip guy. That's Farhan. Computer nerd guy. Hey, do you want to see my spreadsheet? No. I want to sign a contract. Nah, spreadsheet. This is how we'd use you. I'm gone. It's not happening. Anyway, Anthony Scafati, there you go. All that stuff. I mean, it's just, you know, he was more interested in, I swear I believe this. He was more interested, Farhan, in impressing his friends. Like my wife, she doesn't buy clothes for me. She buys clothes to impress her friends. She buys shoes to impress her friends. And we go out and they all go, oh my God, where'd you get that? Is that that brand? Is that, they don't impress, they're not trying to impress us. They're trying to impress other people. That's Farhan. Because all those GMs who are like from Yale and MIT and all these different places and Harvard, they were like, oh, that was a great signing you had, Farhan. You got him from the scrap heap and you're only paying him $5 million. You're so brilliant. Like, that's what they did. That's what they do. Like, they're more impressed about, you know, I got this guy, you know, from nowhere and look what he's doing and this and that, impressing their friends. And they are actually the baseball world. I'm impressed that Buster Posey got a guy, a top-level free agent, early in the process to sign a 7-1-82. He didn't overpay him. He didn't give him double-digit years. This is a legit signing for a good price for Buster Posey and a guy who, behind Juan Soto, was one of the most coveted offensive free agents in a place that you can't get free agents, offensive free agents, hitters to sign. It's incredibly impressive and sends a sign to the rest of the league and to the fan base and everything else. You know that stuff you said about me? Because, I mean, that was one of the first questions I asked Buster Posey at his press conference afterwards when me and Papa were talking to him. Is like, you a closer? Are people going to come here because of you? He's like, well, we'll see. I mean, obviously, this is about Buster Posey closing a deal. I love talking about this with you guys, man. This is making my night. Bill M. Hi, Bill. Did you talk about Nico Horner? That's a good one. Nico Horner went to Stanford. He's had some injuries with the Cubs, but he was a first-round pick, and he's really developed well. Gold glove second baseman. Above-average hitter. Not a ton of power, but it's one of those things where I think power can be overrated in this ballpark. You want a line drive hitter. You want an athlete. Nico Horner can steal bases. He's a great defender, as I said, gold glover, line drive type hitter. Not going to hit you a ton of home runs, but he's also one of those kind of glue type of guys. He's really good to have in the clubhouse. Good clubhouse guy. Smart, obviously went to Stanford. So, yeah, Nico Horner would be a guy. The Cubs are weird. They've been a little bit like the Giants in that they don't act like a major market team. They have their own network, marquee network the Cubs have. They make a ton of money, but Tom Ricketts, their owner, is a cheapskate. I mean, he's just a cheap ass, and he treats the Cubs like they're the A's. They're always looking for deals. They're always, you know, they're not really ever in on a major free agent. Everyone always is like, they could sign this guy, sign that guy. A couple of years ago, they went out in on some major free agents. Maybe they got Bellinger, but that wasn't a long-term deal. They a couple of times, you know, they'll get a Seiya Suzuki. They'll sign a, you know, this pitcher, but they're more into like Jameson Taillon types. You know, we're going to try to rehab this guy, those kind of things. They got Imanaga, the pitcher out of Japan last year, who was absolutely great. But for some reason, that was another name. I'm sure that's why you bring up Nico Horner. Nico Horner was a name that people said he was going to be traded. He got the Cubs did sign him to an extension. I think he's a great player. Again, the type of guy that if you have some power around him, he's a great, you know, he would be a good two-hole hitter. He'd be a good 7 or 8 hitter, 7, 8, 9 type of hitter. He's underrated, but line drive guy who plays really good defense, good athlete, can steal some bases at second base. I like Nico Horner. I wouldn't be opposed to Nico Horner. That's not a bad one. Farhan hit on Muncy and built his entire philosophy around that kind of move. We are not the A's. I agree. Look, when he was with the Dodgers, and I don't know how much he was involved with it. I don't know the inner workings of what the front office of the A's was under Andrew Friedman and all that. But Farhan, from people in the baseball community, is very well thought of. And people say, you know, he found this guy, he found that guy. But that's my point, is that if you want to have Farhan as part of your front office and you say, hey, Farhan, you're in charge of going to garage sales and finding pieces of gold that are overlooked, then Farhan's one of the best at that. He can find guys that are undervalued. That's great, but that can't be your whole team, especially when you're a major market team like the Giants. You know, for the A's, that's not bad, because the A's philosophy used to be guys who fall through the cracks and are pretty cheap, that's the guys we're going to get. Well, teams have caught up to that philosophy. So there's other teams who steal those guys up. And now the A's, even though they had a major signing the other day, $67 million, which is the biggest of all time. It used to be Eric Chavez for the longest time signed that $66 million deal. They got a deal for $67 the other day for Severino, for Luis Severino. So, you know, I guess they go to Sacramento and they start spending money. But that used to be kind of their philosophy, and so Farhan fit that, right? Hey, Farhan, those guys who fall through the cracks, get them for us. And that's fine. That can be part of the philosophy. You know, when you're trying to acquire players for an organization, trade for some, sign some. Obviously, in baseball, you've got international guys, you've got a regular draft, all these type of ways that you can acquire players. And Farhan seemingly was like, no, I like the guys who fall through the cracks. I like the last second guys. I like the guys who are undervalued. That needs to be part of the process. I agree. That's part of the process. But he couldn't close the deal on the major parts. The big parts, they just signed Willy Adames. Do they get that deal done if Farhan is here? Absolutely not. They don't. It's not just about finding the pieces of gold at a garage sale. It's not. And that was what Farhan was best at. So go to the Dodgers where they have all this stuff and all these resources, and you be the garage sale guy. All right? We got a bunch of guys who can do things. You be the garage sale guy. But I really, on a Saturday night, I don't want to talk about Farhan. And it's my own fault. I got on a tangent about him, so I apologize. Hey, Marco. What about Julio Rodriguez from Seattle? He's 23, got a ton of power. Yeah, I don't know what Seattle thinks of Julio Rodriguez. I'll text a friend of mine who's up there and covers the Mariners. I got to believe that they're not going to give up on him. Obviously, a couple of years ago, he was tremendous, and home run derby in the All-Star game, and everybody going crazy, and the game was up in Seattle, and he was the toast of the town. I got some Julio Rodriguez cards. By the way, if you're a card collector, love to talk to you. But yeah, Julio Rodriguez was the talk of the town. And then last year, along with that offense that the Mariners had that was just shit, I mean, it was just, you have the best pitching in baseball, the best starting pitching in baseball, and your offense is so bad that you can't get to the postseason. So, see, you know, they were waiting for Julio Rodriguez to come around. He never did. And so I can't believe that Julio Rodriguez is a guy that the Mariners are not going to exhaust every opportunity to try to get back on track. Now, if you're talking a year or two from now, and it's kind of like the Bellinger situation with the Dodgers at the end of his tenure, where it was like, man, we've tried everything, and we've exhausted it. We just got to let you go. Julio Rodriguez is not at that point. But to your point, and I think it's a good one by you, which is, hey, if I'm Buster Posey, I'm at least going to call up to Seattle. But Seattle's not at the point where they're going to give up offensive assets. It's like, okay, we don't have any offense, and we're going to trade you Julio Rodriguez for what, pitching? I mean, they've got enough pitching. What they want is more hitters. And I don't know that the Mariners and the Giants would match up in that way. You want to give up Bryce Eldridge and some other pieces? Maybe they'd listen, but Seattle's really in a situation where they've got tons of pitching. They need hitting. And so they're not really in a spot where they would give up Julio Rodriguez. And I don't think they've run out of patience with him, but what do I know? As you said, new era 84, Seattle ain't giving up Julio. I don't think so either. But a good question. I don't like to tell people that when they come up with something that it's bad. It's not bad. No Farhan, please. I'm not going down another road of Farhan. I just can't. It's a celebratory night where Willy Adames signed a 7-year, $182 million contract. I'm not going to sit and bash Farhan. I think I've done that enough. I mean, it's my own fault, believe me. Correa's deal was, people asking about Correa. Correa's deal, and I think Tacky brought this up, what was 12 and 350.
And he was in the suit and he was ready to go, and they flunked him on the physical, and then he had to go back, and I think it was Cohan of the Mets tried to sign him, but then that didn't work out, and then he ended up back in Minnesota. And it's kind of a blessing in disguise, because right now, would you want – now, I think Correa signed for a couple hundred million in Minnesota, but would you want Correa even at a couple hundred million, or would you want Willie Adames coming off a year in which he hit 32 home runs and knocked in 112? So, you know, sometimes you're pissed and you're mad and you're angry, and then 2 years later you sign Adames and you go, thank God we didn't sign Correa. I mean, that's kind of what that situation is, isn't it? So – Miguel says, is Buster an analytics guy? Everybody's an analytics guy, but I will say that if you just pay attention to what Buster's building, Manassian is a scout. He has hired a bunch of guys with the background of a scout. So I'm not saying he's out on analytics. Nobody is, but there are certain teams who are just, you know, staring at the computer. And that's what they're going to do, and that's kind of Farhan. So here's the easiest way, in the easiest way to follow along on this whole thing in terms of the analytics where the Giants are. If this side, okay, so this is a swinging pendulum. If this is the Giants under Farhan, let me get my hand out here better, down here, they were analytics with a pedal to the metal. I think with Buster, if this is middle, this is where they are. So Farhan, Buster. Right down, I think you got to use analytics. You'd be stupid not to use analytics. Baseball is the most analytically driven sport there is. And for good reason, it should be. There's 162 games. Why analytics don't work as much in other games? In football, there's 16 games. That's not very many to go off of. That's why teams fail in the playoffs when they go analytics. There's not enough games. So if you're going based on, you know, what's going on in the playoffs, there's not a lot of data. But 162 games is a lot of data. 16 games isn't as much data. 82 in basketball is. But because there's so many different elements of baseball to analyze, pitching, hitting, fielding, all, but there's just tons of different categories, that there's a lot more analytics in the game. You know, lefty, righty, you know, this certain thing, certain parts of the game, home, road, all these kind of things. So you just dive so deep in analytics. And as many teams have said, and I've talked to a lot of people about this, they can either overload your brain, so you got to find a happy medium, and that's kind of what I think Buster's doing. Buster's going back to what he knows, which is scouting. He said so much during his press conference and to Papa and I afterwards about Brian Sabian. That's what he knows. That's who he grew up. How he grew up. It's like all of us, right? Our parents, either good or bad, gives us these examples, and we either take them or we don't. Well, in terms of Buster Posey, because they were so successful winning these World Series, Buster Posey looks at it and says, okay, I know what Sabian and Bochy did and all these guys, but I know that I have to modernize and stay with the analytics, but I'm not going to go pedal to the metal far on. I'm going to go back towards the middle. And so in a long-winded way to answer that, I think the Giants are going to be – everybody's analytically driven in baseball, everybody. But there are certain levels of it, and I think the Giants are going to be kind of in the middle of it. Not just so reliant on it. Like Farhan wrote the lineup and handed it to Bob Melvin. Bob Melvin, it's already been said, Bob Melvin's going to make the lineup card. He's got the gut feel. There's got to be analytics involved. And Bob Melvin's an analytic guy. I've talked to him about it. He's analytically driven. But he's not going to, if he's got a gut feel, if a guy hit two home runs last night, but the analytics say the pitcher on the mound tonight is not his friend, too bad. The guy hit two home runs last night. He's playing. Bruce Bochy had a rule. You hit a home run, you're in the lineup the next night. There's no analytics in that analysis. It's that guy was good last night. Until he's not good, I'm riding him. That's not what Farhan did. Beep, boop, beep, boop, beep, boop, beep, boop. Here's the lineup card. You know, it's just, it wasn't based on that. And I think there is a argument to be made for both, which is if a guy's hot, don't ignore your gut. And again, Buster said that at his press conference. He was behind the plate. He knew certain hitters. It was in his mind. It was in his gut. You've got to play that a little bit. And the Giants didn't. That's a big part of this thing. I think that baseball, I don't know that it's going to go back towards that, but certainly in the Giants' case, I think it is. Plus, he moved the analytics department. The analytics department, if you walked into the clubhouse, there was a big presence of it. It's not that way anymore. Buster changed it. So if you don't believe what I'm saying, he kind of said, let's put the analytics back here again. Because under Farhan, it was like front and center. Ketel Marte, man, I'd love that. You want to get Ketel Marte again? You're in division with the Diamondbacks. I don't know that the Diamondbacks are going to do that, but I love Ketel Marte. Amazing. It would be awesome. Do I like Randy Winn? Yeah, I'm a little bit surprised that he went to the front office. But, yeah, Randy's always been good to me. He's a tremendous guy. A little soft-spoken, but Randy knows the game. The one thing is that I've sat with Randy when we were at NBC Sports Bay Area doing TV, and you want to go back and sit in the green room with Randy Winn? He knows the game. And so one side of me said, you know, I liked him on TV. Again, he's not bombastic or anything. If you're looking for the screaming A-type, he's certainly not that. But he knows the game. I'll tell you that. Need to talk knock to Shanahan on how you always play the players that are not like Mason and Grendo. Yeah, tomorrow. To be honest with you, I was going to do a 49ers preview for tomorrow's game, and I know the season's slipped away, but I felt like, you know, still there's enough people, so I'm going to do kind of steal the Matty Maiocco, you know, five to watch. But now that they got Adamus, it's like, not doing that. This is much more fun to talk about. Let's see, I saw a bunch that I missed here. What was the robot name in the Jetsons? Rosie? Isn't that right? You're talking about the maid? 84, New Era 84, rocking New Era 84. Yeah, I think you're talking about the maid, right? Tell me if I'm wrong there. I'm pretty sure it was Rosie. Good ACD song. Whole lot of Rosie. If you're looking for something, that's a good, you can rock that one. Let's see. Da-da-da-da-da. Ooh, look at Ink to Audio talking some baseball cards. You're talking my language, bro. You just, let's see, you got a Buster 1 of 10 auto, a Buster rookie card, $5.99, a PSA 10. Have you added anything? Yeah, I've added some things. You and I are going to have to talk at some point. We'll private message or something. But, yeah, I've got, I picked up quite a few things, and I'm a huge fan, and I'm out in the East Bay, and there's a couple of nice shops out here and some buddies that I know what they're doing. So, yeah, we can talk cards. I'm a huge card guy. Been saving them for a long time, just like anybody. I wish when I was growing up, all those cards that I put in my spokes. I mean, for example, like, you know, Ricky Henderson rookies and Pete Rose's and all these old ones that I see, you know, Ozzie Smith. I mean, these ones that I had in pristine conditions when I was a kid in big Nike boxes, just loads and loads of them. I used to take my allowance and I would walk down to like a drugstore. You probably know this, and they had like the packs that were hanging, and they would be like in plastic containers, and you could see the first three and then the last three on the back. And I mean, those were, I don't know, $5 maybe, $6-7. I mean, they were cheap. And I'd ride my bike down there and buy a few of them and look through them. I mean, all these ones that I see selling for thousands, it makes me want to, because they're gone. I don't know what happened to them. I went to college, my parents went, not going to deal with this, and throw this stuff away. MF, what do you think of Patrick Bailey? I love Patrick Bailey. There's no reason to get rid of Patrick Bailey. I just hope he can get through a season, get himself in a little bit better shape, because in his first two seasons, he's run out of gas. I don't think there's any question. But part of the running out of gas is the organization. And the first year, Gabe Kapler said, we cannot not have Patrick Bailey in there. They overused him. And then last year, same kind of a thing, and he just burned out both years. I think it's twofold. I think that, look, I'd love Patrick Bailey, and you want him in there every single day, but the reality of the situation is maybe he can catch 110, 120 games. He doesn't have a strong enough bat that you make him the DH or anything like that, but he's got to make it through an entire season. And I'd love him to be better offensively. I mean, he's shown at times, but in the minor leagues, the thing that was surprising when Bailey first came up was that he wasn't a great offensive player in the minors. So when he first came up and he was hot with the stick, it was like, who is this guy? And then he kind of went back to the mean. I just want him to make it through the season. And he is so valuable defensively that these, you know, the pitchers love throwing to him. You know, I'm not telling anything you don't know. All the analytics love him defensively, throws out runners, all that kind of stuff. But he got not lazy, that's the wrong word, but at the end of the year, because he was getting tired, his mechanics and throwing the ball especially were hurting. And so, you know, he's throwing sidearm and he's trying to do all these things that, because he's tired, his mechanics were all screwed up, and then he's not hitting. But that's what goes back to Willie Adamas signs with the Giants. That's why we're doing an emergency show right now. And what happens is that you've got all these sticks now. If you can fill in at first base, if you can have more, then you can have a defensive first catcher, and you're not really complaining because Patrick Bailey's hitting eighth or ninth. When Patrick Bailey has to hit second or third or fifth, or he's misplaced. Like, I don't want Patrick Bailey hitting in a key RBI. Now, he has come through, I will say, in his first couple of years. He's had some good at-bats in critical situations, but I don't want Patrick Bailey consistently hitting in an RBI slot in the lineup. If Patrick Bailey's hitting 7, 8, 9, then my lineup is right. If Patrick Bailey's hitting 2 or 3 on a certain night, like he had to do sometimes, or 4 or 5, it's like, that tells me what my lineup is. It's crap. And I like Bailey, and hopefully he comes around and can hit, but I think that they need to, and they tried to. Last year they had Tom Murphy. Signed him to that deal, he got hurt. They do need a solid backup catcher, at least defensively, and so that you can say, okay, you know, you can give Bailey a night off and you don't fall off the cliff. You can't have that. You got to have somebody, a veteran guy who you don't have such a drop-off with, and I think that Bailey will make it through a season, but his first two seasons, he's just wore down. Why did Farhan trade Joey Bart? It really wasn't a trade. They DFA'd him in Pittsburgh, picked him up. Who did they put on the roster? It was somebody indescript. It was when they were signing guys late in the process in spring training, and they needed a roster spot, and they DFA'd Joey Bart, and Joey Bart went to the Pirates, and everybody was talking about how, you know, it was good that Bart did that. The reality is, why did you sign Tom Murphy for, what, $8 million or something? And what was that about? Bart couldn't be a backup? No, he's a second overall pick. Can't make him a backup. Of course you can. Why don't you just... You don't need to sign Tom Murphy. I mean, Joey Bart would have been fine as a backup catcher. He ended up being a backup catcher most of the season, I think, with the Pirates. You know, I like Joey Bart. I didn't have a problem with him, but obviously in the pecking order, as we all know, Patrick Bailey passed him up. I don't know why you had to sign Tom Murphy. Bart would have been fine as a backup, but it was a roster squeeze that got him off the roster. What else we got? Do I believe in ghosts? Nah, not really. Now that I say that, I'll probably get ghosts tonight. But I'm not a ghost guy. You know, I could be convinced otherwise if you had some sort of a ghost situation or like that. But nah, I haven't really thought about that. George, Jane, Judy, Elroy, Jetson. Yes, the maid was Rosie. There you go. Thank you, Lynn. Tacky, if you're not live, you're dead. Yeah, I guess in these shows that some of these can be taped. But again, the reason why we're on right now is because the Giants signed Willy Adames, 7 years, $182 million. Is he the jock board to the right? 251, 32, and 112. 29 years old. Is Corbin Burns next? That's the big thing. I haven't shown this for a while, and we've been on for like an hour, which I've enjoyed this. No, that's not that one. This one. There you go. That's where it broke. Jeff Passan, Willy Adames, and the San Francisco. You don't think I'm making this up? That's legit. That's a blue check mark. Willy Adames and San Francisco Giants agreement on a 7-year, 182, largest deal in franchise history. Career best 32. Adames, $22 million signing bonus. $182 million guaranteed is the third largest for a Dominican-born player, but more importantly, tops the $167 million, the biggest that the Giants had given out to Buster Posey, who signed Willy Adames. So there you go. They're not screwing around. And then I put that Roky Zazaki in there just because he's going to get posted, and I'd love for the Giants to get him, and it's not going to be a money thing. It's going to be wherever Roky Zazaki wants to pitch. Most people are thinking the Dodgers. I hope not. Some people are thinking the Padres. I hope not. I would hope that the Giants could get involved in that. But again, that's not going to be a money thing. That's going to be Roky Zazaki giving up money to pitch for the team that he wants to pitch for. So maybe the Giants can get in on that. Let's see. Marcos, prediction for the Niners game tomorrow before the live is over, please. Oh, boy. It's the Bears. I mean, at the beginning of the season when I did the win-loss game, which I'm terrible at, I mean, I didn't even give this game a second thought. I was more looking ahead to the Lions late in the season, which obviously those things, you know, in Green Bay and Buffalo before that and all these things. I mean, I looked at the Bears game going, really, the Bears? I like Caleb Williams. He's really inconsistent. They can look good and bad. The one thing that scares you a little bit is that they fired Matt Eberflus, their head coach, and for a game or two, you can kind of get an energy out of that. So in other words, what a professional athlete will start thinking is, well, I need to make sure that they know it's not my fault. It was Eberflus, so I'm going to play my ass off, and guys will play harder. But from a, you know, even with the injuries, the Niners, I'm not going to say, because they're not in the position to blow anybody out. With the injuries that they have, I don't know who's going to run the ball tomorrow. They're going to have a lot of issues that way. But Yeah, they're going to beat the Bears. I don't know that they're going to cover, but they're going to beat the Bears. All season long, I had thought that. The Bears have looked okay at times this year, even decent at times, and then just downright awful. Caleb Williams throws a lot of bad balls. I've been surprised with Caleb, and again, he's a rookie, but I've been surprised a lot of times with Caleb in not using his legs a little bit more, and maybe the coaches in Chicago have said, hey, man, we want you from the pocket, from the pocket. He made so many great plays out of the pocket at SC and has done that at times this year for the Bears. But, you know, kind of like where Brock will make that third down play, like I think it was the game before the Bears, as I was getting prepared for the Niners and the Bears, he had opportunities to run, get first downs at the end of games on third downs, and he just didn't do it. But again, sometimes when you're a rookie, the coach is just drilling into your head something, and so you don't see these 10 yards that are in front of you because you're just hearing pocket, 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 pocket. He's going to be a good quarterback. It's just going to take him a couple of years. Keenan Allen made some plays last week, but he's generally done. I do like Roma Dunze, one of their wide receivers, really, really well. I think they should be better defensively. But, yeah, they got to get it done. And I've said this consistently throughout the short tenure of the show, and I said it a lot on KBR. Look, they're done for the season, but they're not done for the era. The national media is burying the 49ers way too fast, but I do think they're going to win tomorrow. Shout-out Jeff Saturday. Let's see. The Bears. Yeah, my folks are from Chicago. Dad was a big Bears fan growing up. What else we got? Bears defense, not too bad. Yeah, they're not bad. They're not bad. You're right. You're right, Bill. They have I don't know who's going to run the ball tomorrow. Mason on IR. McCaffrey on IR. Guerrero tomorrow. Probably a lot of Guerrero if you're still doing fantasy. A lot of Guerrero tomorrow, probably. Anyway. All right. Are we about done? I said to go get a whiskey. I said to go get a shot. Jeez, where's my camera? There we go. I said to go get a shot, and let's tip one back for Willie Adames before we get here, or before we leave here. And again, Adames, 7-182. Not only are the Adames deal itself, but Buster Posey getting this deal done. Winter meetings next week. That's a big sign to the rest of baseball that they're not screwing around. This cannot be the end-all, be-all. I do think that Corbin Burnes and the Giants are talking. That's what a lot of people are saying. Susan Slusser, read her. But I've heard the same thing, so that is a huge thing. Far as the lineup is concerned, we've had a lot of fun hanging out and talking about the lineup. Boy, that's a nice left side of the infield with Chapman and Adames. Maybe you move Fitzgerald to second base, maybe next week. Somebody mentioned a Nico Horner. He's nice. I'd really like to see a short-term power guy at first base. Nothing against Mike Yastrzemski. I'd love to see a nice power right fielder. I don't know if they could, you know, afford a Santander. A lot of people brought up his name. Some people have brought up Cody Bellinger, but it's a good night. It's a good night with Buster signing with the organization, loosening the purse strings, and signing Willie Adames. You got to feel good for not only the signing, but what it means for these Giants in the offseason. I think it means a ton, especially ahead of the winter meetings, that this team is going to be aggressive, that this team said, I'm not going after the Juan Sotos and the Otanis and the Harpers and the Judges. We're going to show all of our love to this guy. And I think that was a big part why they got him. There's ego when it comes to anybody, man. Think about when somebody's coming after you and, you know, you're our guy. You know, you're our guy. That means something to you. Don't get me wrong. The $182 million was the 182 reasons he signed. But it means something when somebody says, we want you. You're not our second choice to Juan Soto like the Dodgers, the Yankees. They said, hang on, man. Hang on, Willie Adames. We'll get to you. But this guy, we're talking to him first. And it's like, well, screw you. How about the Giants can be 7-182 and too bad? I'm not your backup plan. I think that's what they did, and I think there's a huge reason. That's a huge reason why, because Buster Posey's smart. We're not getting Juan Soto, and we're not one player away. I'm not going to spend $600 million on Soto because that would be all we could do. And I'm not saying he's not great, but what it tells me is maybe some hitters will come here. Buster Posey does have influence on guys signing here, and this is not the end of the offseason. And it's not Farhan at the end scrambling at 2 a.m. at the bar when the lights come on. Oh, quickly, Jorge Soler, you know, that kind of stuff. He's not doing that. He's being aggressive now. It's a great sign. Thank you for hanging out. Anything else? Let's see. Very excited tonight, man. Hopefully there's more to come. I agree with you on that. What else? All right, let's have one, man. Let's have one. Let's cheers to – can I get this in the camera? Can I figure this out? Let's cheers to Willie Adames, let's cheers to a Niners win tomorrow. Let's cheers to just you and happy holiday season. I really appreciate you guys hanging out. I appreciate your support of the channel. Please spread the word. We're going to be here 8 a.m. Monday through Friday. All right, we'll do a live show as long as that takes. During the day, I post stuff out during the day. I do a thing called 3 minutes on. So if there's a breaking news story, I'll do a quick 3 minutes. The Willie Adames story, I do chats at night. The Willie Adames story, you got to do an emergency full show for a Willie Adames signing to the Giants. There's no doubt about it. I mean, that's what I'm going to do. So anyway, I really appreciate you hanging out. I appreciate you supporting the channel. We're off to a great start. Make sure you subscribe. Tell all your friends. Go to @JohnLundRadio for any breaking news on Twitter and X. That's where I post a bunch of stuff. And I think that's about it if we don't have any more questions. But I really appreciate you guys hanging out. I really do on a Saturday night. You guys made my night because my wife didn't want to hear me talking about Willie Adames. She's like, can we do something else? Can we do something Christmas related? can we not? Because we did college football all day. And she was like, will you stop it? My son goes to Arizona State. They go from 3 wins to the college playoff. Are you kidding me? So it was pretty cool that I was able to, or we were able to, but, you know, she's sick of talking about college football. All right, man, let's do it. Let's salute. Here's to Buster doing more of this in the offseason. Here's to Willie Adames. Here's to you hanging out with me on a Saturday night and more of these to come. Bottoms up. Let's do it. Hang on. Oh, boy. That is smooth. All right. Have a great night, man. Have a great night, John. I got that one in there. Good night, everybody, for hanging out. I really appreciate it. I want to thank everybody, Tacky and Two Audio and Rockin' New Era and Peric Dapa, to Jay, to AJ Cruz 75, to all you guys. If I missed anybody, I apologize. Let me go up here a little bit. I want to make sure that everybody who hung out today gets some love. Boof Busters, I like it. Who else we got? Bill M. Giving us some stuff. So even if you just hung out, whatever the case may be, Clemens, I got you in there. Miguel, all you guys, man. It was really cool. MF, who's a regular. I really appreciate you. Lynn up here. Who else we got? Just want to make sure I try to hit everybody that was hanging out today. Anyway, good stuff today. Buster Posey does it for the Giants. Gets Willie Adames at 7-182. 32 bombs from your shortstop. Not bad. And not a last-second guy, not a Jorge Soler guy, you know, not a Blake Snell when you're desperate at the end of free agency. Really cool. Hopefully it's a start of things to come. Unless something breaks, I'll pop on tomorrow, too. We'll talk some Niners. Remember, I'm on with Larry Kruger every Monday night, and next week we start with guests on the show. We're going to have a ton of guests. The first week, I kind of wanted to just hang out and congregate with you, but thank you for hanging out with me on a Saturday night. You made my night. Happy holidays. Happy Willie Adames signing. And again, if you got any questions, comments that you didn't get in, just go to @JohnLundRadio, and I'll do my best to answer that as well. Make sure you subscribe, tell all your friends, all those kind of things that you got to do when you promote yourself on one of these things. Have a tremendous night, and thanks for hanging out. Willie Adames is a Giant. Have a great weekend, everybody. Go Niners.